much about. So easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Vaginas are beautiful.
Who could give me another name for gonorrhea?
I'm laying here, smelling my underwear, smelling my underwear.
Got a little story to tell you. You know, I didn't do this by myself. It's always somebody behind the scenes that's always helping me, the unknown soldier, you know. For 33 years, I've rodeoed. And in 1962, a little boy was born, and his dream and his goal was to own a monkey.
And now...
This is stupid. I'm so bored.
Our feature presentation.
What was the monkey guy about?
There's a video. I can't remember where I saw it, but there's a video going around of a guy at a rodeo who has a show where he goes around and he has monkeys riding dogs, and then he's got these goats that he's trained to do a show.
Right.
And then at one point he stops the show and he gets down on his, you know, gets out on one knee and has the patriotic music going and he starts giving a speech, and it's, you know, he is attempting to make it inspirational. And that's how it begins. It's
wow.
The dream of the little boy who wanted to one day own a monkey.
One day I want to own a monkey.
That's not where you thought that sentence was going, was it?
Not at all.
I think I love him. I came up with about 10 videos for a new internet roundup this weekend because...
Wow, you got your internet back. Fantastic.
Well, yeah.
No?
Yeah, that's a long story. But no. More importantly, Lisa May.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all rested. I'm well fed.
Sweet.
All good.
It must be weird. I mean, we all know because we all get vacation, but you find out what it's like to be able to get some sleep.
It's amazing.
Which
this
is
whole
so
sleep
different.
Thing is not overrated.
Yeah.
That's true. You think it's going to catch on?
I do. I think there's a movement afoot.
Lisa was on vacation last week. She started out in Boston, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then, you went deep into Cape Cod. How was that?
Went to Provincetown.
What's that?
Or P-Town, as we call it.
P-Town.
P-Town.
Yes, that's
in the
what they
house.
Call it.
Well, yeah, we call you P-Town. You don't know that, but
the season hasn't actually officially started there. So
what,
you know,
season?
Everything is seasonal in that area. So only 250 people live there permanently, but then it just explodes. You
right.
know, when you get into May and through probably October. And so the only way to get there, if you don't want to drive, which we didn't, was this little, like, six-seater plane.
Sweet. Those are the best.
Oh, my God.
And so is it an island?
It yes.
I thought it was a beach community. I didn't know it was an island.
Well, it's part of Cape Cod.
Okay.
Oh.
So it's at the tip of Cape Cod. So you could drive there.
Right.
But it's just quicker to fly. It takes 2 hours to drive. It takes 20 minutes to fly.
All right.
So,
okay, gotcha.
But I just love this because it's just the smallest plane I've ever seen. And there's like four of us. And the pilot just turns around. Pilot. It's a dude in jeans and a t-shirt, you know. And he just turns around and he goes, okay, there's like life rafts under your seat. Uh-huh. Don't smoke. And boom, off we go.
That yeah. was all the instruction.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
It was really funny. But I want to go back when places are actually open because
right.
I think that would be fun.
Well, it seems like it would be better.
It would be
if
better.
If everything was closed.
A yeah. lot of it was closed, but it's beautiful. Yeah. And the places that were open were great. We had wonderful food and stuff. Those were
it's
really
good
fun.
It's good to travel if you can, if for no other reason, to see how different the rest of the country looks.
Oh,
you know, just
yeah.
in terms of the... trees and everything else that they have, it just looks, everything looks different
and
than
all
what you're
of
used
the
to.
Houses are built in the 1800s. It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
It's very cool.
Now, the reason you were there, and this is leading into my story that's going to be another guy who's ruining the curve for the rest of us by being too damn good. The reason
yeah.
you went is because your boyfriend, that man you have sex with, he was running the marathon, right?
He ran the marathon.
What was his time?
It wasn't good.
Ha!
Last year, he ran it, I think, I'm going to say 3:35.
Okay.
Something like that. And
that's
this year,
good, though,
it was over 4.
I think that's good.
Over
I think
4.
Three,
he's going so the wrong
well,
direction.
Well, I mean, it was just a hard year in terms of
what
training and stuff.
Terrible
and
runner.
And he's not getting any younger.
But it was just a hard year. But I actually managed to get 50 feet from the finish line right in front. I actually was able to watch him take a picture right before he crossed the finish line. I was super excited.
Were you yelling? Hey, you're disappointing me. No. Last year you did better.
Dude, I'd still be running it if it were me.
You should have told him that you weren't going to give him a ride back to the hotel unless he broke 4 minutes. Or 4 hours, excuse me. Yeah. This is why I wanted to ask you about the marathon. All Here's a guy in the news named Sam Robson. He is 28 years old. He ran his first marathon last weekend. The London Marathon, in fact, which is another one of the big ones. First ever marathon, 28 years old. 3 hours and 45 minutes, first marathon.
That's
but
good.
But then, that's great for your first. And then he decided he was going to keep running, so he decided to run home. He lives in St. Ives in central England.
What?
So after his first marathon, he ran another 99 miles.
What?
F that guy.
That took him 25 hours and 15 minutes, by the way.
He's Forrest Gump.
Is he still running?
No, he made it. He ran the 26.2, and then he ran 99. He said about 2 miles from the end, my hip started to give way. He'd like to do something like this again. The fact that it was my first marathon was something that really spurred me on, he said. His fiance was amazed that he made it, saying that's just the kind of guy he is. He was raising money for the UK Epilepsy Society because he had epilepsy as a teenager.
He's got a van that picks him up in the woods and puts him there.
They do have these ultra marathons.
Oh, yeah.
This was his first time he ever ran a marathon, let alone an ultra marathon.
But, you know, he forgets to tell us he circled the world twice running. He just never bothered with the marathon.
I doubt seriously this guy had a van, Kevin, or it wouldn't have taken him 25 hours to run home.
You get a van,
to run home.
Get it in, and then you go someplace for 24 hours and eat,
I got you.
Then you get
back
in.
A movie, check into a hotel.
Oh, I sure am tired.
Splash some water on yourself.
Yeah. Well, I prefer to believe that the guy did it because it's an incredible story. But anyway, so for people who are complaining about, you know, how far away you have to park your car in the mall, I want you to keep this guy in mind, all right?
Good point.
I want that guy to... Never mind. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
You can't say that on the radio, Larry!
Not Larry. Thank you. We have highlights of Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes.
Last night.
The most padded 2 hours in the history of television.
It really is a 20-minute show.
It is. It sure is.
And they stretch and stretch and stretch, and then they say, coming up. And then it's just a recap of the last 15 minutes you saw.
I know.
Yeah. And they show it again.
But it's so successful. I mean, I don't know if President Trump is telling the truth when he says it's the highest rated show on NBC. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I know the show's doing well. But man, it could certainly be an hour instead of two. I'll tell you that.
It could be a half hour. It's crazy ridiculous.
But how great does next week look with Star versus NeNe? Oh my God.
NeNe's going to kill. I know that.
I think so.
So we got that.
I'm surprised we haven't heard that she's been arrested and jailed yet.
Same here. So we got that in about a half hour. We also have Bonnie Jill Laughlin. I don't know how to say her name exactly. But she is the first female scout in the NBA. She scouts for the Lakers.
Wow.
And there's no other woman that has ever done this.
Interesting.
So can she find someone who can stop Chris Paul?
She's either really, really hot, which is part of it, or she's good.
Yeah.
Or both. So that's coming up. We have Carson Daly. I don't know if you guys have heard because they don't advertise it at all. But there's a new show called The Voice.
What?
On NBC.
What is
You're
that
kidding.
About?
You think that they would promote that with the premiere being tomorrow night?
Some kind of singing show, sort of like American Idol, but the judges sure do have their backs to them.
Yes, they do.
That's it. That's the whole thing. Oh, the judge turned around his chair. That's good.
Well, I think Carson will tell us that that's not the only difference from American Idol. They also they have teams, and the celebrity judges will mentor those people. And
I've
blah, blah,
watched
blah, blah, blah.
75 commercials. To me, it just looks like they have their back to them. That's it. That's all it is. We also have Tom DeTone, who is the host of Repo Games.
Now, this sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting. So we're going to talk to him about that. We have... You snuck
an apology, Kevin. An apology, maybe on today's show, perhaps from you
to
our friend Aisa.
No, never.
And our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, both of whom witnessed something at Coachella that you refused to believe existed, and that is somebody being smuggled into the show in a backpack.
It's so dumb. These people are right. These people are 10 feet from the security guard.
Doesn't mean they didn't do it.
And then they put a human being in a backpack that's not a midget. a full-size human being. And then they walk through security, which is 10 feet from where they were when they were spending their half hour getting the guy in the backpack.
Well, how far would you want to carry that guy on your back?
You want to
set it up close to where you have to get through security.
Right, but close enough so that the security guard could watch everything that you did and then go, yeah, come on by.
Well, all I know is I saw the video with my own eyes.
I did too. No way you can fake that. Dumb. She wants an apology. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Who was shocked, along with the rest of the world, that Lindsay Lohan ended up in jail on Friday night.
Wow, I didn't hear about that. Fantastic. And we have the great Wing on the
program
today.
She's back.
She's back. She has new music. And it's as bad as ever.
Yep.
Which I'm very excited about. So we're going to talk to her as well. And they've got some kind of an announcer test they're going to give me. I think there's a, back in the 40s or 50s or something like that, there was an announcer test for NBC. And, wouldn't it be funny to give Kevin this test? I'm not going to pass it with flying colors. Come on.
You're not going to pass it with flying colors.
Let's not be ridiculous. So that's coming up as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRO. KROQ.
So much for that song, man.
At 5:54.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Ralph Garman, why isn't there... Or maybe there is, and I don't know about it, an F-L-Y-E-R-S chant like there is for the Eagles.
Just because there isn't.
Seems like there ought to be. Seems like they could have used it this weekend. I'm telling you what. Unbelievable.
Here we go, Flyers. Here we go.
Oh, is that the chant? That's what it is?
Chant, yeah.
What about the Flyers-Buffalo Game 7 on Tuesday and the Blackhawks-Vancouver Game 7 on Tuesday?
I did not see Chicago coming back like they did.
No way.
The Flyers-Sabre season has been... You know, back and forth the whole season. But, boy, the Hawks sure came back big in a big way that series.
Chicago barely got in the playoffs.
I know.
Yep. And that kid, what's his name, Ben Smith, who scored that winning goal in overtime, he only played 6 games in the regular season.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
They say in the playoffs, unexpected heroes. That's what makes the difference in playoffs. So.
And, Kevin, you're happy. You're still alive.
Happy. Still alive. Tonight, game 6.
A lot of excitement.
the overtime game, though, last night, took years off my life.
Yes, it can do
playoff
that.
Playoff game in overtime is just the most tense situation you can possibly imagine.
It really is. In hockey.
And we'd already lost one in overtime the game before that, so it's just dread.
Yeah.
And then ultimate exaltation when it actually happens and you come through.
So. Saturday night in the King Sharks playoff.
That was nuts.
They pulled the Sharks goalie 5 minutes into the game.
Well, they lit him up.
I know,
what was it, 8-2 was the final score?
No. I wish it was that much. It was like 3-1.
Oh.
But I think that was a Chicago score. But anyway, in the first 5 minutes, the Kings scored 3 goals. They pulled Antti Niemi right out. I'm like, I don't know that I've ever seen a goalie pulled that soon. What a bummer.
And that's bad.
And then they kept him from coming back. But hockey playoffs, every single playoff series is fascinating.
Yeah, it's been a great year so far.
Well, we will keep an eye on that. And obviously also the NBA playoffs are going on. We'll talk about that later, too. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on in Hollywood over the weekend?
Well, because it's Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Another good weekend for Rio. It's number one at the box office yet again for the third week in a row. $26.8 million in Rio.
That's the highest grossing film of 2011. Did you guys realize that?
Yeah.
Wow. Probably
huge, huge numbers. As expected, Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family.
Yeah.
Debuted big this weekend, made over $25 million. Good enough to make it number two. That Madea, she sure does say things wrong.
She does.
And she is sassy.
That sure does happen.
You don't read the right prescription in the Bible, she says over and over again.
And no one notices she's a man.
Oh, Madea. your tough love ways sure do make us happy.
She's wacky.
Water for Elephants came in at number three with $17.5 million. Then Hop and Scream 4 in the top five. Number six was African Cats, the Disney nature documentary in its sixth slot. Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hannah, and Source Code rounding out your top ten at the box office. This weekend, congratulations to Eddie Cibrian and Leanne Rimes. They got married over the weekend. Finally, he made an honest woman out of her after cheating on her with his wife and her cheating on him from her husband. So they know what they're doing.
That'll last.
A little Charlie Sheen update. It has been confirmed in a show in Fort Lauderdale over the weekend. One fan asked Charlie how he handled two women at once. He replied, not well. because one left. Yes, he's down to just one goddess now.
Oh, no.
Porn star Brie Olsen.
Well, she's all you need.
No, she left. She was the one who left.
Oh, she left.
Yeah.
Oh.
She broke up with Charlie via text message, according to reports, and then went back home to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Is that winning?
Not so much.
Okay.
He went from 3-2-1 pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And when you have that much money and celebrity, that's tough to do.
Yes. I heard that one of his shows over the weekend, Ralph, he filled the room by giving away free tickets through his Twitter account.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's been audiences have been harder and harder to come by. Apparently in Washington, D.C., they were booing him yet again.
Sweet.
And so he's having a rough week.
I love that so much.
I don't know that. I mean, I guess the paycheck is the ultimate reward for him, but it would be tough to get up for going back out on stage and being booed again tonight if that's what you've been doing every night this week, you know? I mean, we're lucky in this job that we can't hear the booing. We can just fantasize that people are enjoying the show.
Just feel it, like a disturbance in the force.
There's booing, and we just can't hear it.
Jeffrey Ross got up on stage again, by the way, with Charlie.
Jeffrey Ross.
I guess he's touring with Charlie now.
He needs to stop that.
I don't understand it at all. He's better than that.
Maybe Sheen said, I'll give you a million of my seven if you'll save the remaining shows.
Yeah. It's got to be an easier way to make $1 million than to keep appearing with Charlie Sheen in city after city. It happened after we went off the air last week, but Lindsay Lohan! In the news, showed up to court on Friday where Judge Stephanie Sautner had some good news and some bad news for Lindsay. The good news is, the felony grand theft charge for allegedly stealing that necklace last January was reduced to a misdemeanor. The bad news is she slapped her with a 120-day jail sentence.
That was a surprise, right?
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Wow.
Apparently the judge was swayed by the surveillance footage, which, in her opinion, did indeed look like Lindsay was having one of her friends distract the salesperson at the jewelry store while she walked out the door with the necklace around her neck.
Wow.
Judge also said, you probably should have returned that necklace sooner if you realized you walked out with it, rather than wait until the cops said they were going to start searching your home for it.
Yeah, there's both of those.
She was only spent about 5 hours in jail because her lawyer announced she planned to appeal that made her eligible for bail, and so she paid the bail and got out. So we'll wait and see what happens. But she has to do 480 hours of community service with this
sentence
at all.
That's a lot of community service.
360 of those hours are at the downtown women's center. The judge says so she could see how needy women live. And another 120 at the Los Angeles County Morgue.
Oh.
Dude.
Wow.
Dude. That judge does not like Lindsay Lohan.
Morgue.
Sending a message, I guess.
Wow.
And while we're talking about things dead on arrival, Paul Reiser's latest sitcom has been canceled after 2 episodes.
Oh. What? They advertised that and advertised that?
They sure did. And still no one watched.
What?
The Paul Reiser Show on NBC. Had tremendously low ratings in the coveted 18 to 49 age demographic, which is where advertisers like to sell their wares. And so the show has been pulled.
Fail! Epic fail.
NBC has announced they're just going to air reruns of The Office in the time slot instead.
Look, I didn't see the show. Obviously, none of us did. But, you know, Paul Reiser had a very successful show that was on for a number of years. You'd think he would have drawn at least some eyeballs, some curious eyeballs. But I heard it was among the lowest ratings in the history of the network.
He has been off the radar, though, since that show went off the air. I don't think anyone's on anyone's radar.
Imagine how much work went into making that, the whole thing, the series, getting people to, you know, the cameramen, the people to run the show, everything. 2 episodes gone.
The jungle out there, man.
Sure is.
Today's celebrity birthday is Al Pacino. Ooh, ah. 71 years old today. Hank Azaria from The Simpsons is 47. Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife and Alias, a bunch of good stuff. She's 42.
Is she a Belle? I don't remember which one she is.
She's a big Belle.
Okay.
Renee Zellweger, 42 years old today. Actor Jason Lee from My Name is Earl is 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a recap. Excuse me.
Maybe
a recap of last night's Celebrity Apprentice coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, the first ever female scout in the NBA, but at least she only got a job with the Lakers. At least that's where she started as a scout in the NBA.
You work your way up to the better teams after you get your first start.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a female scout.
I'm not.
Really?
Think about it percentage-wise, how many women, first of all, would want to be
that's true.
Working in professional basketball, let alone be on the road all the time scouting talent. I mean, it's diminishing numbers to the point where it can't be that many women even interested in the role, right?
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Is she scouting talent or is she scouting talent?
Giggity. We'll ask her that.
I had to get that out of the way before we have her on the phone.
Good.
All right, Ralph, you had an idea last week, and I'm not sure I understand why Kevin is the guy that you want to give this test to.
Yeah, I don't understand either.
Just luck of the draw. We just put some names in the hat. Just anyone? Yeah.
Could have been anybody.
Absolutely.
So this is random?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
It's like the TSA screening, Kevin.
I felt like I was targeted because I'm a Middle Easterner.
No.
All right. What's going on? What's this announcer's test all about?
Someone sent me this test, and he thought I would be interested in it, and it comes from Radio Central New York, which was a radio station in the early 1940s. And when people would come to them and say, I want to be on the radio, they'd say, all right, here is a test for you to take. You need to read this to see if you have what it takes to be on the radio. Well, it's called the announcer's test.
But that was in the 40s or 50s, right?
Right.
Okay.
So this should be easy because it's like, you know, back in the 40s when you compare the numbers in sports between now and then. I mean, players these days are crushing the old records of what people used to do, right? Because we're so much more advanced. We have so much more talent now than we did back then. This should be a piece of cake.
And the reason they would give this test was to find out if the person was able to read and read well and read appropriately to be on air and also to be able to articulate the words so that the listener could easily understand what was being said.
Right.
But this is just random, though.
It was a test given to prospective radio talent to demonstrate their speaking ability, basically, is what this stood for. So I thought, just randomly, we'd ask Kevin to read this on the air to see if he's got what it takes to be on the radio.
Could have been me. Could have been Lisa. Could have been anybody.
Absolutely.
What, did you just pull a name out of the hat?
That's exactly how it happened.
Wow,
yeah,
I'm unlucky.
But I think you're lucky because you will read this and then show that you have the job that you deserve, that the rightful job that you should have, which is to be an announcer on the radio.
This is what happens every time they mock me. They go, oh, no, this is an opportunity for you to shine.
Absolutely.
It's time to make fun of Kevin.
It's an opportunity for you to show us what you got.
This is also a time saver because if Kevin can read it, the rest of us don't even have to try.
But you know what I got. That's why you chose me.
Don't start a riot.
It's time to make fun of Kevin.
It's simply a list of 10 things.
All right.
It's just a list of 10 things.
Do I have to remember them?
No, you can read it right off the sheet.
Okay, all right.
Now, I can read it first for you if you want to hear what it sounds like, and then we can have you do it, or you can just do a cold.
Doesn't matter. You pick.
I don't know. What do you think?
I can do it either way.
What do you think, Bean?
Let's just have we'll just have Kevin read them.
All right.
Let's just have Kevin read them.
It's the announcer's test, a list of 10 things.
It's time to make fun of Kevin!
And I'll keep a copy over here so I can see how you're doing. We just need to read through from 1 to 10, the 10 different things, and then we'll see how you did.
Now, do you know, like, how many mistakes you're allowed to make and still get the job?
You're not supposed to make any.
Zero.
Right, because you're reading it. You don't have to memorize or anything. You're reading it. It's right in front of you. It's in your hand. It's on the printed page. Just simply read what's on the paper.
All right.
Beer bag, hook up those jumper cables to Kevin's nest that we talked about.
Who's beer bag?
Maybe I should take the test.
All right, so you just want me to read these.
That's right.
And if I miss a word, I'm out? Is that how it works?
Well, you don't get the job in 1940s, that's for sure.
All right. So here's the announcer's test from 1940. The first one is one hen.
One hen.
Look at that. Look at that. What a start. What a start.
What could be easier than to read a list of 10 simple things?
The second one is two ducks.
There you go.
Come on now. This is too simple.
You're right.
Three squawking geese.
There's three.
Four limerick oysters.
Okay.
How dare you?
Hiccup to limerick a little bit.
Starting to wade into deeper waters now.
I haven't read this before yet either.
It's supposed to be a cold reading test. You're supposed to just look at it and read
it. I'm not cold, but all right. Five corpulent porpoises.
There you go.
Six pair of Don Alverson's tweezers.
It's all versos, but we'll give it to you because it's a name. So.
Close.
Yeah. All right. 7,000. Oh, sorry. There's more to that one.
Yes.
I thought that was
more
it. I was like,
there.
That's pretty simple. Why are they doing that? 7,000 Macedonians in full battle array.
All right.
Okay, now at some point you have to try to read it as if
no,
it's a sentence.
No, you didn't say that. You just said read it.
Right, but there's an awful lot of space in between words at this point.
Try to make it a sentence. I'm trying to hit certain parts to make it better.
We appreciate that, but let's keep it flowing, shall we?
Eight brass monkeys from the ancient sacred crypt of Egypt.
Crypts? Okay.
Crypts. Well, crypts is
fair
enough. Okay.
Nine apathetic, sympathetic, diabetic old men on roller skates with a marked propensity toward procrastination and sloth.
Okay, it's marked and it's towards, but you're close.
Enough,
you're in the ballpark. At the speed you're reading it, though, it seems like you ought to be able to hit all the syllables.
By the way, that's all of them except for the final one.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. 10 lyrical, spherical, diabolical denizens of the deep who haul Let me start. 10 lyrical, spherical, diabolical denizens of the deep who haul stall around the corner of the, I don't even know that word, quo?
Yes.
Quo of the quay of the quivery all at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes!
There it is. There it is.
So this has found his job.
Wait, this was random.
It was random.
You could have given this to anyone.
Absolutely.
I think I would have failed the test. If I were trying out for that gig, I think they would have said, thanks, we'll call you back.
Well,
Kevin, you're fired.
I think part of the problem
is that your Donald Trump?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I think part of the problem is that had you been reading news in the 1940s, America would never know they were at war with Japan.
Well, there is Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means we take a look at last night's Celebrity Apprentice. Really, I didn't watch all of the seasons of The Apprentice, but this is certainly the most entertaining of the Celebrity Apprentices that I've seen.
Well, because they're all crazy.
Because they're all crazy, right, exactly. What an unbelievable mix of people on the show this year. And our friend Donald Trump, of course, joins us for the recap every week. How are you, Don?
I don't know whether I'm running for president or not. Please stop asking me.
What is happening
with
that?
Please stop asking. I can't say one way or the other whether I'm going to run for president.
Haven't you been saying I'm going to run for president now for about 3 months?
Please, I'm begging you. Please stop asking.
No one's asking you
whether I run for president or not. I can't speak about it at this time. Let's just talk about the highest rated show on NBC or any television network for that matter. Celebrity Apprentice, bigger numbers than the Super Bowl and the moon landing combined.
That's not true.
There are a lot of shows even this season ahead of Celebrity Apprentice, but you are putting out a pretty good product. And Kevin has some clips from last night's show, Donald, where basically you insisted on talking about running for president,
please,
even though you claimed you don't want to.
Talk about it. Please stop asking.
Clip number one is Donald Trump talking about running for president.
Everybody's saying I should run for president. Let me ask you a question. Meatloaf, should I run for president?
Absolutely.
And he goes down the list and asks everybody if he should run for president and if they'd vote for him.
I say, raise your hand if you wouldn't vote for me. And no one does, because everyone wants me to be president. But please stop asking about me being president.
I think really it's all coming from you, Donald.
No, it's the American people are demanding that I run for president, and I just can't talk about it.
All right, so the task last night was all about self-promotion. It was Donald Trump talking about Donald Trump, and then he was giving them a task to talk about his new hotel.
We're standing in Trump Soho. It's the tallest building in Soho, one of the tallest buildings in downtown. It's a spectacular place. We're at the top. We have views that are absolutely unbelievable.
All right.
Over the years, we've built the Trump Hotel Collection. We have 5 hotels and 2 more on their way. They're really, really high-end, beautiful properties.
Okay, take it
Doesn't
easy.
Get any better.
All right.
There are no better hotels anywhere than the Trump Collection of hotels, all 5 of them. I am one of the biggest. I have the biggest chain of hotels in the world.
I think other people have more than 5.
The other people have like 4. I have 5 hotels.
Okay, all right. So John Rich is the leader for the guys. And Star Jones is the leader for the girls. And Star Jones puts Nene and LaToya together on a task. And Nene is not one to be pushed around, so she complains.
I'm going to tell you that I have a bit of an issue. Now, you put me and LaToya to work together. That's a bit of a problem.
I got you. I understand. It's very difficult for somebody like me to work with fake women. I'm very real, and I cannot work with somebody. And as soon as Mr. Trump asks a question, then suddenly you're throwing one of us under the table. It's not cool.
I think she meant under the bus.
Are you going to throw someone under the table?
No. Women that are under the table in my boardroom are there for a completely different reason.
So they're supposed to create this 4-page magazine ad for the Trump line, as if 5 hotels is a line.
The Trump Hotel Collection.
Sorry. All right, take it easy. So the girls are shooting a photo spread, and the Playboy Playmate of the Year, Penthouse Pet of the Year, is
Playboy,
don't care. She's super, super hot, and she's going to be in a tub wearing almost nothing. But Nene's in charge of it, and she's got a robe on, and they're taking pictures. She's completely clothed, and Star is not happy with that.
Yeah. You're a little too covered up. Star, you ain't in this. Excuse me, Nene, you're not
looking. You are not in it.
There are 32 shots over here with your clothes tight around your neck. Well, we're not selling sex. We're selling the hotel.
Well, you should be selling sex.
Yes, because people have sex in hotels.
Don't you think, Donald? I mean, isn't that a stupid decision?
You have Hope DeRosic, one of the most beautiful women in the world, Playboy Playmate of the Year. I want to see some pink.
Right.
Okay, I don't know we're going to go that far.
I am willing to go that far. That's really, and we haven't seen that yet. And,
no.
And what's the point of having her on the show if you're not going to see a little of that?
Absolutely.
So they do their shoot and they pitch it to Trump's board, and Trump's board goes, "Oh, that's bad. Nothing. That's not. That's nowhere near how good our hotels are." And then the guys do their pitch, and then the guys go, "Oh, that's nowhere near what we need for the Trump line of hotels. They're both bad because our line is too good." And they get into the boardroom, and Donald tells them several times that they were both bad because they can't do him justice. It is impossible.
No.
So then NeNe claims that the rest of the girls are crawling up Star's ass as a way of saying they're kissing ass.
Yeah, we're running out of time. The number one priority to me right now is that
this is a different clip than the one I just said.
Yes, yes it is.
But I figured Bean would appreciate this though. The guys are running out of time, but they need to make sure one thing happens.
There are no misspelled words. If there's one misspelled word on Mr. Trump's pitch, we are done.
All right, I'll go word by word. The
meatloaf.
I need a dictionary.
All right, Meatloaf needs a dictionary for the word the.
And I think it's because they got reamed in the boardroom last week because they had a misspelled word with Gary Busey's task. So they want to make sure that didn't happen 2 weeks ago. But of course, it did anyway.
It did. They misspelled words, which is fantastic. And Donald Trump did love that. And now NeNe's saying that everybody's crawling up his ass.
I felt like a couple of these girls were like crawling up Star's ass. Even Hope or Marley or any. I can't.
By the way, much nicer now that she lost all the weight.
Donald,
yes.
Talking about Star Jones's ass.
Who wants to crawl up a big fat ass?
Well, nobody does.
That's
but
what I'm saying.
That's not appropriate for in a boardroom.
But it's true. I speak the truth. And that's the kind of truthful, hard speaking I will do as President of the United States.
Wait, you
said, I can't talk about it. Please don't ask me about it. I can't bring it. I can't talk about being the president.
And the one thing that I have learned is that you do not want Donald Trump praising you in the boardroom. Because that means you're gone.
Oh.
So Star brings back in NeNe and LaToya, and he has to choose between the three of them.
Now, I would say that I've gained tremendous respect, more than anybody here, for LaToya. Because I think she started as a lower denominator in my mind. And she ended up being an equal and in some cases greater. But nope. I will say this, I don't think the team wants LaToya going forward. LaToya, you're fired.
So that happens. He fires LaToya about six episodes too late.
Yeah. I am so impressed by you, LaToya, and right. I get the hell out of my office.
And finally, the tease for next week is NeNe going crazy because she gets in a fight with somebody every single episode. Next week, it's NeNe and Star. How do you choose a winner out of that? Who do you want to win?
Before the task even starts.
You press the last button at me, Miss Star Jones.
Behold.
It's going down.
The Wrath of NeNe.
You evil, fat lady. I know how you think. I know how you play the game. I will take you down.
Okay.
This is not the Real Housewives.
You didn't have to be the Real Housewives.
Oh, my God.
I actually want to move on this side.
NeNe almost pulled Star's head off and used it as a doorstop.
You talk the good game. Now bring your street game. Now, where's Barbara Walters?
Yeah, she seems to be a problem. And this happens next week before Donald Trump gives them the task.
Oh.
So NeNe is losing.
I can't wait. I hope it's the first ever murder suicide in the history of Celebrity Apprentice.
Wouldn't that be the best case scenario? Donald, it'd be cool if we lost both of them, right?
I promise you someone dies next week. Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah.
That's 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ and it is 641.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show with Carson Daly joining us in about 20 minutes or so. How did we get him, by the way?
How did we book that guy?
When he comes in to talk about his show, The Voice, in about 20 minutes, let's all turn our backs. None of us will look at him. We'll just interview him from behind. How about that?
And then if we turn around, that means the interview's going okay.
Exactly right. I am fascinated by our next guest for a number of reasons, by the way. Bonnie Jo Laughlin is on the phone with us. She is a talent scout for the Los Angeles Lakers. But what an unbelievable resume. And let's welcome Bonnie Jo to the show right now. How are you, my dear? Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How are
you? Good, thank you.
We're doing great. We've been doing this show for decades now. We've never one time ever had anyone on, except for maybe Billy Bob, with a hyphenated first name. So this is kind of a treat just to talk to you today.
I know. It's kind of a southern name, so it's hyphenated.
Hyphenated names, by the way, are also serial killers, just so you know.
Oh, no.
All right, I'm just saying. They only use them then. That's the only time.
I'm not a serial killer. I promise all that.
All right.
Now, you is there any chance you're in New Orleans? Do you travel with the team when they're in the playoffs like this week?
Actually, I came back for Easter, so I'm actually in L.A. I'm in right in your neck of woods.
All right.
Okay. What do you make of that game last night? What happened?
Well, obviously, with Kobe not scoring the first half, that didn't help. That was that normally never happens, as y'all know. And then
I don't remember that ever happening before. By the way, that was shocking to me.
Yeah.
Very shocking. And then Chris Paul has his first triple double of the season. So it's we didn't get the win. But now it's best out of three. I think we're going to do it. I'm not worried about it at all. People start to get nervous, and it's fine. I mean, they were protecting their home courts. Of course, they're going to win there. But we're okay.
See, it almost seems like, and the frustration for Laker fans, and we talk about this all the time on our show, Bonnie Jill, is we don't feel the passion sometimes from the Lakers, and sometimes we feel like that's coming from the top down because Phil is so zen that he doesn't, it seems like we don't see him getting the guys all fired up. Maybe he does, and we just don't see it. But you don't think they're worried? You think they're going to come out and do what they need to do to win this series?
Oh, yes, they definitely will. I mean, obviously, you know, we're looking to win this. You know, win it all. You know, round by round we go, but we're hoping to three-peat. And, you know, Phil's got his way where he's just very intense, but he gets the job done. I mean, when he goes in there and talks to the guys, they listen, and Kobe's a competitor. He wants to win. Derek Fisher's the leader. They all make it come together. And, you know, every year, if you think about it, every year we go through this. And, are they going to do it? They don't like they have the passion, the fire, and and we're already trying to go for a three-peat. So.
Why doesn't Phil talk to them in the timeouts? He talks with his other coaches kind of out in the middle of the court. I think they're planning dinner, I don't know. And then at the end of the timeout, he walks in and he goes, "All right, let's go."
It's so funny.
I could do that.
I've heard so many people say that. They were talking about that during the finals, that Doc Rivers is in there the whole time and just yelling at the guys, and then Phil's just, you know, hanging out. But that's he gets it done. The guys know what he needs to say in those last couple, you know, seconds, and they get it done. And obviously, Kobe's always trying to get the guys fired up, and you saw Derek Fisher doing that last time. But it's a different way. Phil has a different way of handling his players' coaching, and it works out. Look at him.
Work. You know, I mean, he's got 12 rings, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah,
all right. Last question. Let me ask one more about last night, and that is, how's Kobe feeling? He left the stadium last night. It looked like on crutches. What's going on?
He was on crutches, and he, you know, kind of tweaked his ankle a little bit. But from what I've been told, he's going to be fine. And you guys know this. Kobe's never even if it was broken, he'd be in there playing. So.
Right.
But he's fine, and it's just something that's precautionary for him to have the crutches, obviously. But he'll be good, and he'll be ready to play on Tuesday.
He'll play on crutches if he has to.
Yeah, and we're going to get that win, and we're going to win this round, and we'll go to the next round, and
we'll
get it done.
Let's talk to you about you, because this seems like it's a very difficult road to travel. You were a former Miss Dallas-Fort Worth, USA. You're a former 49ers cheerleader, former Cowboys cheerleader. Former Golden State Warriors cheerleader. And then you get a job with the Lakers and you work your way up. It seems to me like there are probably a lot of those cheerleaders are trying to make that happen. You're the first I've ever heard that worked your way all the way up to become a scout.
Yeah, I definitely took a different route than most scouts do, but I just been one of those people that, you know, went for the goal, and that's what I want. I've always wanted to be able to run my own team, own my own team, and so you got to start somewhere. And I was a broadcaster covering the Lakers for many years and then got into basketball operations and scouting and eventually, you know, hope to just keep moving up. And it's just something that obviously I got to overcome a lot of battles because being a woman and the path I've taken, but just working hard every day.
Now, are you the kind of scout who travels all over the country all year long watching high school and college players looking for undiscovered talent?
Yes. We don't do high school, obviously, because the one-year eligibility now. But
right.
College, I do Pac-10 and Big 12. And we've got advanced scouts that obviously do the NBA for the teams that are coming up. And then we've got international scouts as well.
I can't imagine anything tougher than a scout's job in terms of seeing a young man that you believe has potential, knowing how few of those guys will ever go on to make the NBA and even fewer become actual stars in the NBA. I mean, don't 99% of college athletes burn out or not have what it takes to be a professional?
Exactly. I was just talking about that with someone that you just never know. They could be great in college. Like you look at someone like a Jimmer Fredette, you know, and you wonder, oh, you know, he carried the whole BYU team, but does he make it in the NBA? You know, you never know. Tyler Hansbrough, he was a perfect example. People saying, oh, I don't think he's going to be able to make it, and look at how great he's doing. So it's, you know, it's a scout's responsibility to try to find that guy that actually can take it to the next level and find that kind of diamond in the rough.
There is a lot of times where it's the second round and the 20th pick by the time they pick somebody, and then that person goes and becomes a superstar, and then the first pick in the draft, just a total burnout.
Look at right. how many times that happens. The number one, you're like, wow, that was a number one.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmer is a perfect example of a great – I'm glad you brought his name up because he's someone we all had the opportunity to watch play a lot during March Madness recently. You, as a scout, when you watch him, is he the kind of guy that you say, hey, I'd like to get him on the Lakers, or is there something about him that makes you not want him?
I mean, I love the fact that he's got a high basketball IQ. I think he's a little one-dimensional. I don't think he's got much defense. And like I said, he carried that whole BYU team, and he was a star of the March Madness. But I just don't know if he has it yet to, you know, make it in the NBA. But I could be wrong. We'll see.
Have you made a recommendation yet that just was a complete failure? You just went, I think this person is great.
Well, I was actually one of the people that scouted Jordan Farmar, and I kind of wish that he was still with us.
I do, you know? Too.
Especially like right now. I mean, if you guys can tell in the series, it would be nice to have his quickness.
Yeah,
and I bet you do. I mean, you probably do have so much pride with a guy that you've handpicked, and it must really be tough. You must kind of take it personally a little bit, although you can't because it's a business. But a guy like that leaves, you must really, really miss him.
Yeah, and you're right. When you do help scout a player, you want them to do the best every night. Every minute they're on the court, you're like, you know, you just want them to do great.
Well, it certainly is a fascinating career path that you have taken, and I know that you sometimes wear your NBA championship rings, obviously, because they're Lakers rings, but do you ever, if somebody gives you lip, do you ever go, hey, Super Bowl ring, too? How many people can say that?
Yeah, I have my Super Bowl ring as well, so it's pretty neat to be able to say I have both. I just need a World Series ring, right?
There you go. Well, I know you're a big Giants fan. Maybe it might be time to transition into their organization. Maybe be a baseball scout for a couple years.
I know, that's hard to say, you know, here
it is.
In L.A. with the Dodgers, but yeah, I'm a diehard Giants fan. Diehard.
All right.
Fascinating story, and good luck with the Lakers. Bonnie Jill Laughlin, you can go to her website for more information, and it's bonnie-jill.com. Thanks a lot for coming on. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for having me on.
You
bye,
bet.
Guys.
Bye. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
10 lyrical, spherical, diabolical denizens of the deep who all stall around the corner of the quo of the quay of the quivery all at the same time.
Whoa!
Yeah, you've been practicing.
That's all I'm saying.
So
white.
Anyone can
I'm
do
saying.
It if you read it fast,
you've
Ralph.
Practicing. That's all I'm saying. You want to give it a shot? Give it to number 10. No, no. At that speed. Give it a shot at that speed.
I don't want to take up your time, your valuable showbiz time.
That's all I'm saying. It is Monday. I got another head cold. I have another cold. This is like my third one this year.
Why don't you stop doing that?
I wish I could. You know who I blame? Doctors.
Doctors? Doctors.
Yes, doctors.
How are they to blame?
Because, you know, they say, oh, well, you can't cure the common cold. Hands up, walk away. They're just giving up. Just give it up.
They have given up on the cold.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, never mind. Moving on. Nay, wait, first, hey, you got to walk before you can run. Before you try curing cancer and all the other things you're working on, well, how about knocking the cold out of the way first? Show me you got some stuff. Show me what you can do.
The cold doesn't really kill you, so maybe the other ones are a little more.
It makes you wish you were dead sometimes.
But right. Ralph brings up a good point. They spend a lot of time and money and millions of dollars on things that 1 in 10,000 people get, but something that everybody gets, they do kind of walk away from.
They gave up a little soon, I think, on the whole cold thing. Have they even looked at it recently?
There should be one scientist still on it.
They said, oh, never mind. The technology has moved on considerably since then.
Right.
Let's take another hard look at the cold and see what we can do to that.
I'm with you.
We're start worrying about other crap. Damn colds. All right. It's Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Rio, number one. $26.8 million made it for the third week in a row. Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family was second with a little over $25 million. Then Water for Elephants. With Reese Witherspoon and Rob Pattinson.
Lisa, you said you saw that?
I enjoyed it, but I really liked the book, too. It was but really mean and a lot of blue hairs. I gotta
Rob
be honest. Bad
he's casting, a zero, right?
Yeah, he's pretty bland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hop was fourth. Scream 4 was fifth, rather. African Cat, Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hannah, and Source Code rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Guys, I know you are trying to keep as up to date as possible on the royal wedding situation,
oh,
so I wanted
God.
To give you a celebrity royal wedding update.
Please.
We have gotten our hands on the guest list, and we know which British celebrities will be attending the royal wedding this week.
Okay.
Elton John is most definitely going to be at the wedding.
Sure.
That's made for him.
He and his husband, David Furnish, will be there.
Okay.
Joss Stone, British soul singer, also on the list, apparently a favorite of the royal couple.
Wow.
David Beckham and Posh Spice, also on the list. Madonna's ex-husband, Guy Ritchie, has been invited, but Madonna has not.
Interesting. Meow. Now, do they know Guy Ritchie, or are they just fans of his and want to meet him, so they're taking this opportunity to invite him to the wedding?
Hold on, let me pull up my phone here and call Kate and see the reason behind why they invited
Kate's number,
Guy
that's
Ritchie.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, it's busy right now, all but right. I'll get back to you on that. Sir Paul McCartney was not invited to the
Seems like a snub.
Surprisingly.
All right.
However, Rowan Atkinson, who plays Mr. Bean in movies and television, is invited to the royal wedding.
Well, they know he's not going to make a lot of noise, so...
Because he's quiet in his movies!
He's a mime. Isn't he a mime?
See what you did there? I don't know if he's a mime. He doesn't, like, pretend to pull a rope or be trapped in a glass box or anything. You ever seen any of the Mr. Bean
not
stuff?
Not really, no.
He's a physical comedian, but he's not a mime.
But he never talks.
He does not talk.
All right.
So much.
Mime.
No. Oprah Winfrey.
Fat.
Let's say you're a woman. And let's say you like daytime television. And you watch Oprah, but you also want your stories. You love your stories. You love your All My Children's and your One Life Still Lives.
I'm pigging out.
Take it easy, Oprah.
And then ABC cancels them.
Yes.
You figure, as a woman, who can you turn to? Who will save your soaps? Oprah Winfrey.
Well, the networks have to do whatever Oprah says, right?
So she has received a ton of desperate emails and letters from soap opera fans begging Oprah to take those shows and put them on her Oprah Winfrey network. Own her own network. Why not move them there and save those shows so the ladies can watch them and enjoy them?
Meaning continue to produce new ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
You know, it happens all the time. Not all the time, but it's not unheard of where a series will disappear on one network, like Scrubs did.
Sure.
And be picked up by another network, and they'll continue production. So apparently a lot of soap opera fans have asked Oprah to step into the fray and save their soap operas.
Wow. That's not a terrible idea, because it would also bring a lot of new eyeballs to Oprah's fledgling network as well.
Exactly. Oprah said no. She posted her reply on YouTube. And she said, basically, it comes down to the fact that there aren't enough viewers at home during the daytime to subsidize the production of those shows for her. Wasn't her damn show on in the daytime?
It was, yes.
A lot of people watched then.
Yep.
Oprah, you ungrateful, ooh, Oprah, you. By the way, Kevin, you'll be happy to know there's a professor in Yale University.
Yeah.
Who has completed a study where he claims that Oprah is actually a religious icon.
Yeah!
Her name is Professor Catherine Lofton, and she's written a new book called Oprah, The Gospel of an Icon. She is saying what Oprah has is actually a religion more than it is a media empire. How long have we been saying
this?
We've
been saying that forever.
It's a cult is what it is.
It is a cult.
She says that Oprah and her message is basically a working religion. She has studied the last 12 years of transcripts from the Oprah Winfrey Show.
And what kind of time does she have?
She said that, it's a scholarly study, so she had to do the research.
Years.
And she says that is basically the gospel of Oprah.
That's crazy.
She's also read all 105 issues of O Magazine and all 68 books from Oprah's book club. And she says that Oprah uses the same speech patterns that are used by Southern Baptist preachers, and that each show has a sermon-like structure to it.
Huh.
She says that Oprah's core message is a kind of gospel. Lofton says the only difference is Oprah tries to tell you the good news is you, as opposed to a higher power. But everything in all other structures, it very closely resembles a religion. Especially the fatwa against men that she has declared. She didn't really say that part. But
I'm not lesbian. I'm not even kind of lesbian.
You're a little lesbian.
A little.
Just a little lesbian. You know, after a couple cocktails. Today's celebrity,
I've gained weight.
Yeah, today's celebrity birthdays. Al Pacino, 71. Hank Azaria, The Simpsons, is 47. Gina Torres turns 42 years old today. Renee Zellweger is 42. Jason Lee, if my name is Earl and almost famous. He's not Asian at all. He's 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to The Voice, a singing competition unlike any other because it puts vocal ability first. Tonight, four of the most influential names in all of music are on a mission to discover and develop America's next great voice.
The Voice debuts tomorrow night at 9 on NBC. And the host of the show, our friend Carson Daly, joins us in studio here.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Everybody turn your backs to Carson. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. Just listen to him.
Hello.
Carson, you don't know what it's like being on morning radio, but we do appreciate you stopping by.
Listen, it's my pleasure. I can't wait one of these days to get on morning radio.
Yes,
I
have
hours
for you. That'll never happen. So many questions for you.
Well, let's begin. I have a Lady Gaga song on repeat over there next door. Yeah.
Okay. My first question is, why isn't NBC getting behind the show and promoting it once in a while? What's the problem is I don't hear enough about The Voice debuting.
You know, they said that they were going to really get behind the show, and I said, I don't know what that means, and now I do, and I regret it.
Yeah, yes. It's too goddamn much voice, I'll tell you that.
I can't watch NBC because the little things at the bottom come up. I was like, when is it going to be Tuesday the 26th yeah. already? This might be overkill.
It might be, yeah.
Is this what happened to Paul Reiser? Did they promote it too much?
It might be.
Yeah, I don't want to get Reisered.
Oh, I like that. We're going to start using that as a Reiser verb. That's awesome. All right, and the other thing I thought, and I get the hook, and I know that that this isn't the only thing that's different about The Voice from the other singing shows that have been on television, is the gimmick of the listening to and not seeing. But isn't part of being a pop star in the 21st century the total package? Don't you kind of want to be able to see the person and know realistically whether they're going to be able to make it or not?
Sure, but isn't it nice at the very initial stage of discovery that there's some sense of we're looking for talent based purely on The Voice? After that, absolutely. And there's a priority to that, but to just, you know, it's nice. I mean, these coaches don't know anything about these kids when they walk out. They don't know their age. They don't know what they look like. It's like, let me just see if you can sing. And then after that, I mean, the whole series isn't just based on these giant red captain's chairs
turning
around.
Well, that's what it looks like.
That's what it does. Right. There's a whole other thing going on.
Now, you know, if they hit the button and they turn around, they like The Voice.
You don't like the show, Kevin, do you? I can tell.
No, it's stupid.
I can tell. You're just being nice because we're friendly. You don't like the show? I didn't like it either when they showed it to me.
I hate American Idol.
I do, too.
So I'm the wrong guy. But to me, this is the same thing with a couple of gimmicks.
It's a little bit better.
Okay, how?
It's a lot better. First of all, the level of talent is incredible. We don't have any William Hungs. There's nobody's like.
That's all I liked about it.
Well, then we're screwed. Then let me tell you this, Kevin. You're going to hate The Voice.
It is
very different, though.
So the judges are sitting in a chair. They can't see the singer.
Right. They're coaches.
Coaches. So if they hit their button and turn around.
Right. That means that person is automatically on their team, unless two coaches turn around. And then the power switches to the contestant, and they get to pick which team they want to be
on. Oh, so the judges or the coaches want to be the first one to turn around if they're going to turn.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera, CeeLo, Adam from Maroon 5, and Blake, they each need to get 8 contestants on their team. That's the whole objective of the blind auditions that you see tomorrow night.
Okay. Now
once they get 8, it's a whole new ballgame.
Okay, and the reason that – and another thing that's different about your show is the contestants that are selected and they are paired up with a coach – they actually have a mentor in show business who has been successful, who knows how to do it, knows what it takes, mm-hmm. and they're going to be working with that person every step of the way to kind of get them ready to unleash into the world. Now, at the end of The Voice, is there a winner? Is there going to be one? You are The Voice. Does somebody win the thing or no?
Yes. Yes.
Somebody does win the thing because that has not been made clear at all.
Is there a prize?
I think there's an assumption, yeah.
Is there a prize? Is there a prize?
No,
money?
No. This is all for fun.
What's happening?
This is all on the uppity up.
They get a recording contract.
Yeah, they get a record deal and some cash. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. How much cash? What's the winner get?
$100,000.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Well, Carson, nice. Is the talent pool deep enough in this country to support American Idol, X Factor, Voice, and all the other cable talent singing contests? Because I got to be honest, I don't think there's that many talented people out there that at this point have not already auditioned for the other shows.
I didn't think there was that many models out there, but there are. There turns out there's a lot of hot people out there.
There are a lot of hot people, yeah.
A lot of people can sing. It's good. So I don't want to be defensive of the show, but I feel like I am. It is... it's very good. The talent level is great. None of us wanted to do anything that was at all cheesy. I watched the show. It's a Holland show. And the Dutch version, they gave us all that whole season. And it played out really good. It's like it's really good storytelling. Mark Burnett. It looks like cinematic.
Okay.
It's good. I mean, you have to watch it.
Now, you said the first round is when the chairs turn around.
Right.
Then you throw the chairs out?
Kevin, you have so much hate in your face right now. How can we take some of that hate off?
I'm just trying to understand.
I'm just asking questions.
You're chewing Nicorette like a madman.
And he doesn't even smoke. That's what's weird.
I know.
I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Okay. Second round.
Second round is like 8 Mile battle scenes. Yeah, it's like it's...
battle?
Yes, it's battle rounds. It's duets. So let's say Lisa and I are on Team CeeLo.
Right.
And he's got 8, but he's got to narrow that down to 4. So he says, Carson, you're going to battle Lisa, but you guys are going to sing this
so you put on gloves.
A duet. So we go out and we sing. You sing this first verse. I sing the second verse. We have to out-sing each other, but we also have to be responsible for doing this duet. We have to harmonize in the chorus.
Okay.
So it's like a series of vocal battles.
So then one of those people gets
and
sent
then one of those
battle
people
loser?
Gets, yes.
Okay. Do you have a trap door where
those
the
are very
loser
good.
Falls down underneath the stage?
We have alligators in a moat around the ring.
Now I'm in.
Now, you're going to do, I hope, everything the opposite of the way Seacrest does it on Idol.
I really haven't
Idol.
Seen it. Like, I've never really watched American Idol.
Really? I just want to make sure that you don't have crazy hair product. I want to make sure there's no daily out at the end of the show. You don't massage all the male contestants throughout the entirety of the hour like he does over there.
I've worked pretty hard. Like, you know, Last Call, the late night show's in its 11th season now on NBC. And I've worked hard the last 5 years. We have a new format where I'm out of the studio. I'm not wearing the...
It's great. You know that I'm a huge fan of The Last Call.
You're very kind. Thank you.
It's great.
And I've focused a lot now in the last 5 years, especially on you know, music credibility and, you know, shining a spotlight on new artists. I mean, that's really what we focus on. I'm not going to piss that away by hosting the show. The show's good. It's very musically credible. The talent's very good.
Can they sing any song they want, or do they have to choose from a list?
They choose from a giant list of cleared music.
Okay.
I will tell you, though, Carson, I mean, you do have credibility when it comes to new music. You know, even long before you were on television, you know, the kinds of shows you're doing now, all those years on MTV, all those years on our flagship Kevin and Bean station, K-Rock Los Angeles. I mean, that's been your whole thing, is to discover great talent. I mean, it does mean something coming from you that makes this sound to me like it is different.
When I sat in the room and they said, you know, listen, I've been trying to get on NBC earlier than 1:30 in the morning for 10 years.
Yeah.
I was in with NBC pitching them some ideas that I had for me to get on earlier, and at the end they said, you know, we finally might have what we think is the right primetime vehicle for you. And they said a music competition series, and I said thank you but no thank you. Like, finally I can pay my rent. Like, I don't need this.
Right.
I've just figured it out. And they said, hold on, just watch this tape from Holland. And they put it in, and they show a guy named Ben Saunders, and you can go to YouTube and watch it, and he sings Kings of Leon's Use Somebody from The Voice in Holland. They have Idol on in Holland, and they have X Factor on in Holland, and they have The Voice, and The Voice is better than the other two shows.
How about that?
And so I watched the whole series, and I was really skeptical. I saw these big chairs turning. I thought, well, that's gimmicky. That looks kind of lame. But I watched the whole thing, and I thought, and they said, Mark Burnett's doing it. It's going to be the biggest priority for NBC. And as a TV host on the network, I'm like, well, this is my spot. I mean, this is my time. This is a great show. And we shot it.
Now, are you in a chair that turns around?
No. Okay. No.
He's not going to let the chair go.
I'm a hologram. I'm not even there, but I'm there. It's okay. Weird. You have to watch. I'm like,
you know what,
Princess
Leia.
Won
me over, though? One of the many promos that I've seen on NBC, and they should run this one more often, because this is the hook right here, Carson. Trust me, because who knows television? You or me. Blake Shelton, the country singer, who's one of the judges, at one point in one of the promos says, Christina Aguilera is going down. And I thought, that's the show
now
I want to see.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. There's
now
good, we're getting some. Good little competition between the coaches, because they obviously want to be the one to find the winner.
Now, the coaches are Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
CeeLo Green.
Yep.
Adam Levine. And a country singer that I don't know named Blake
Shelton. They're all
he's really the unlikely
very
hero. He's, yeah,
he is? Okay.
Yeah, he's very funny in it, yeah.
Okay.
He's country music artist of the year, and he's 9'2".
Okay.
Well, it sounds worth checking out. It's going to be tomorrow night on NBC at 9 o'clock. If you don't get Riser, you'll be on at least two episodes, right?
I'm praying to God. I hope so.
The show is called The Voice. Always great to catch up with our friend Carson Daly, man. Thanks for stopping
by. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Coming up in about 10 minutes, by the way, we're going to talk to a guy who's a real-life repo man who is now a game show host. Lisa May, they go to your house to repossess your car, but they give you a chance to answer trivia questions. If you get them right, they pay off your car loan instead of taking it away from you.
I love that.
But how great does that show sound?
Yes.
If you get one wrong, they take your car.
Well, they were going to anyway, right?
I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to the host of Repo Games coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time to talk about our friend Donald Trump.
Well, yeah.
Everybody's saying I should run for president.
All right, take it easy, Donald. Donald is saying he should run for president a lot. And then he turns it around, says everybody else is saying it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But apparently he's in a feud with Jerry Seinfeld. A lot of what Donald Trump has been saying is, hey, show us the birth certificate. Obama wasn't born in America. Need to see the birth certificate. Blah, 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 blah.
You know, you blah, blah, blah that, Kevin.
I do.
But there are millions of people who believe that.
Yeah, I know. But
millions of people.
Who, I believe
by the way,
that,
whose vote counts as much as yours.
I believe that politics is dirty enough that if he was trying to cover this up, he would be found out. Because they do horrible things in political races. So, whatever. But Jerry was going to do a children's charity for Donald Trump. And he canceled because Donald has been talking about Obama that way. Uh-huh. And Donald is now not happy about that, and we've got him on the phone. We have Jerry on the
Seinfeld.
Phone. Yeah, we have Jerry Seinfeld on the phone. Hi, Jerry.
How'd you like that setup there, Jerry?
That was the most confusing thing I've ever heard. I don't
on
know
the
who
show.
I am or what I'm talking about. I don't know why I'm on the phone. I don't know what the story is. I'm in a children's charity. No. I'm running for president.
No, Donald Trump.
I don't know what's going on.
Donald Trump is talking about running for president.
Right?
And he's right. Been talking about the Obama thing.
How drunk are you right now?
I wish. I wish
now,
I was
Jerry,
different.
You were scheduled to appear at a charity event this September for the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital,
yes.
which is an event that was hosted by Eric Trump, Donald's son. You
great
pulled out
charity.
Because
I gave them a bunch
yes.
of money.
Right. But you're not going to appear because you are offended and you think it's un-American what Donald Trump has been saying with stirring up the birthers.
I just think enough's enough with the birth certificate.
Okay. So you pull out and then Trump sends you a nasty note. Tell me what his note to you said.
Donald Trump said that I pulled out of the benefit for all the wrong reasons and that my show, The Marriage Ref, sucked.
He did say that in a certain manner, yes. He said your show sucked, but he didn't cancel his obligations to you, and he didn't talk about it then at the time.
No!
But you are talking about it, and you're canceling.
Yes, I'm canceling!
All right, so you're not doing
I'm sending him a message, but just shut the hell up!
But look, disagree with Mr. Trump all you want. The Marriage Ref did suck.
Yes, absolutely.
That
was no longer on television.
Okay.
And yet we're constantly still inflicted with him and NeNe.
Everybody's right. Saying I should run for president.
No, not everybody. Like six guys.
So what about the feud then? So you pull out, but then you do make a generous donation to the charity.
Yes,
so at least you're helping
I
out in that
gave
way.
Them more money than they could have made with me being there.
So is this,
I just didn't want to be. I didn't want to hear him. I didn't want to see the hair, basically. That was the problem.
I don't blame you.
I was afraid the hair would eat me.
Well, that's a very legitimate concern. So is it over now? Can we put this whole feud to rest?
Have
you said
like
your piece?
To. Okay. I don't want him sending me any more letters. They smell like Dracar Noir. This mail all stinks of bad cologne. His daughter's hot, though. I like her.
His daughter is hot.
Come on the house sometime. But no, I'm tired of him talking about all the problems we have and then starting with him on the politics. It's going to be the president and it's all the people that are voting for him. And he can't wait. He's going to buy the house. He's going to buy my dad.
Jerry? Oh, no. I hate when that happens. Poor Jerry.
That's a shame. I apologize only where needed, Bean.
It's on video, man. You can't deny it at this point. We'll explain on the way. And the best goddamn singer in the whole wide world from New Zealand, we talked to Wing and debut her brand new song. That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Do you remember a few years ago, Kevin, you and I did a Kevin and Bean job bit where we go out, we do people's jobs for a day and cut up the tape and play it back on the radio?
Yep.
Remember the time we went out as Repo Man?
Yep. That was fun and exciting, and I thought we were going to die.
Was that one of the most adrenaline-filled evenings we ever spent, was going out there and creeping up to somebody's house and getting into their car and driving away and praying to God that they didn't come out of their house with a shotgun and take us out.
Yeah, because they don't know you're repoing their car. You might be stealing it. And we just kept thinking, start the car. Because, you know, a guy's going to come out with a gun. Is what we figured.
It's not a job for me full time, and I have great respect for the people that do it. And one of those guys, a real live repo man who has taken his talents to television in a show called Repo Games, debuting tomorrow night on the Spike Channel, Tom DeTone joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom, thanks for coming on, man.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. How long have you been in the repo business?
On and off for about 20 years.
Wow. And what attracts you to it? Is it the adrenaline that we were just talking about?
Yeah. You know what? I got to say it's adrenaline. I mean, it's like the hunt. You know, you never... you're always chasing people down. I mean, and that's what keeps me going.
But doesn't it kind of bum you out that these people are in kind of a bad way and you're the guy that takes their car? Even though it's deserved, isn't it a little bum you out a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I have a big heart, man. It's a tough job to do because you're taking away people's lifeline, you know.
Right.
A car is probably the most important thing that you'll ever own, more important than a home, you know.
So how did you come up with the idea to combine that with a game show?
With a lighthearted, fluffy game show.
Which I love.
Well, it wasn't my idea. I mean, I wish it was. there was a couple guys, you know, writers who basically put the show together. And combining it wasn't an easy thing to do because it's repossessions, you know, with the game show, and
right,
it's never been
right.
done before. You know, you're taking a game show out of a typical studio audience and putting it on the street, on someone's front yard, and it's not an easy concept.
The next thing you know, man, they'll be asking you trivia questions when you jump into the back of a New York City cab. I mean, it's getting crazy out there. So you show up, so you don't do what you would normally do as a regular repo guy, which is hotwire the car or start it up somehow, roll start it or whatever, and then drive away. Do you go and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here to repo your car, but I'm going to give you a chance to have us pay it off instead?
That's exactly how it happens. Typically, I would grab the car and be out of there in like 30 seconds.
Right.
Right.
Now it's, you know, hook up the car, secure it, go up to the door, and, you know, basically you tell them, hey, we're here to repossess your car. They're angry. They hate us. And then you're like, look, the reason we're here is because we're going to give you a chance to keep your car. Win it free and clear, paid off. And the look on their face is unbelievable. I mean, they're in shock. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I think I would be trying just to get my head around, is this happening or not? Is it real or not? Are they really taking my car? What the hell is a game show based on that? I mean...
I bet a lot of the car owners don't believe you're telling the truth, even though you've got a camera crew with you and you can prove anything you're saying. But I bet they still can't believe this is a real game.
No, they don't believe it's real. I mean, we're here in Vegas right now, and we had Vegas PD have to come out to one a couple days yesterday, 2 days ago, and the guy didn't even believe that Vegas PD was real. He's got a pad in his hand and he's writing down badge numbers and he's looking at the cop car thinking it's a total setup.
Oh my God.
Where's Dash and Kutcher? Come on. Let's figure this out.
Oh my God.
Being pumped. All right, so you ask him questions. Now, we do have a highlight of the game, a montage of clips of you asking them questions. And some of these people are not incredibly bright. So here is, after you've taken their car, you've hooked it up, you're ready to take it away, they can answer 3 out of the 5 questions, and you'll pay it off. They don't even have to make any more payments.
Right.
Here are the questions.
I'm repoing your car!
This is Repo Games. It's the only repossession show that gives you the opportunity to win your vehicle back.
Oh my God, this is on the spot.
All right, dude, just tell me how to play.
I'm going to ask you 5 questions. If you get 3 right, you get to keep the car free and clear.
I'm just so nervous. My mom's going to see this, all my friends, and I don't even got my makeup on or nothing.
Question 1. What was Barack Obama's name in 2005?
Pass.
There's no pass.
Let's suppose that Jared from Subway gorged himself with 3-foot-long subs. How many inches of sandwiches is he now digesting?
Footlongs are 6 inches. Wait.
What weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of lead?
I don't know, man.
What famous gift did the French give us in the year 1886?
French fry.
How many days are in a leap year?
5.
You're saying there's 5 days in a leap year.
I love that so much. Now, does it play into it that they're still trying to figure out if their car's getting taken away and stuff? Like they're nervous from that standpoint? Because some of those questions are just gimmies.
Yeah, they're, I mean, the answer's right there. I mean,
Right. Some of them are in the question, and if they could just pay attention to that instead of the fact that their car's getting taken away, they'd get it paid off.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, you know, you got to remember that their car is on the line. You got a camera crew right there in your front yard. Emotions, stakes are high. You know, it's tough. I mean, you know, yeah. It's there's a lot of things going through these people's mind that sometimes it, you know, the question is so easy and apparent that they just blurt out something it's absurd. It's funny.
Right. I love it so much. Repo Games is the name of the show. It debuts tomorrow night on the Spike Channel. Tom DeTone, you are the host. Is it a special? Do you have a whole bunch of them filmed? We're going to see one right after another, a bunch of weeks in a row? Or how many you're going to air, do you think?
Yeah, we right now with Spike TV, there's 20 episodes that are coming out.
Fantastic.
So they're running back-to-back. They're 30-minute shows. They're 30 minutes back-to-back. And there's usually 3 to 4 per show.
Wow. Okay. Sounds great, man. Great idea for a show, and it sounds like a lot of fun for you to do as the host, too. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk to us about it.
All right. Thanks, guys, very much. Man. Have a great day.
You bet. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, did you get my text message on Friday, or are you blocking me on your phone, too?
Texted you.
Yeah.
I did text you.
You did text me. I forget what it was, though.
It was about that comedy special on HBO.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to give the listeners a heads up on this, too. I saw it, and I knew that you guys would love it, and I knew our listeners would love it, too, because I've never seen anything like it. It's Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., and Ricky Gervais, all sitting around in a room talking about how they do comedy, talking about the art of stand-up, what's funny to them, how they handle audiences. I mean, just unbelievable. You rarely get a chance to see guys working at that level with insights into their craft. And I just knew that Ralph, you in particular, would find that fascinating.
I watched that, too, and it was really good.
Yeah. Wasn't it good?
The only problem is HBO just shows something once.
That's true.
And then you can never see it again. So I missed out. I'm screwed now. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I guess you won't.
Oh, wait a minute. No, they'll rerun it 400 times this week.
And for folks who don't have HBO, it's already up on YouTube, so you can actually watch it in parts on YouTube if you want to. All right, it's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about if I give away some passes to a very cool event I know a lot of people are looking forward to. It is the movie Thor.
Yay!
Boy, it's my Athor. It's about gay sex, this movie,
I don't
right?
think so.
What?
I think it's a kind of a... He's a god.
Posters, looks like gay sex 3.
I don't think
big
so.
Big beefy bear. Yeah. With a big beard.
I don't think so.
Yes, you want to see my hammer? This is the hammer of Thor. It's a superhero movie, of course, from Marvel Comics. Thor, the god of thunder from Asgard. Legendary Norse heaven of Asgard.
Now, is this one that you and the other geeks have been looking forward to being made into a movie for a long time?
Hell
or no?
To the yeah.
Oh, really? This is a big deal?
Kenneth Branagh, by the way, legendary Shakespearean actor and director, directs Thor.
Oh, he's a terrific
director. You got Anthony Hopkins, stars as Odin.
Who else do you have?
What?
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman's also in that, too.
Come on now.
I've got tickets not just to a cheesy old Kevin and Bean screening, but to the red carpet world premiere of Thor at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood on Monday, May the 2nd. I've got 5 pairs of passes to give away. Now, let's give away, we'll split it up. We'll do 3 here. And I'll do 2 later on today. How about right. that? So, first 3 callers who can answer this trivia question, because I'm not just going to hand them out, because this is a hot ticket.
Oh, this is... You have to earn it.
First 3 people who call in who have the correct answer to this trivia question. What is the Earthbound secret identity of Thor in the comic books? In the comics. I know there's been a lot of different incarnations of
Clark
Thor
Kent.
As of late. But traditionally, the big one, the famous one, who was... Thor's secret human identity here on Earth. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Get through the correct answer. 3 of you will get pairs of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Thor.
You have to say it like that?
Thor. Chris Hemsworth, of course, stars as Thor. Anthony Hopkins, Jeremy Renner, Rene Russo, Natalie Portman. Good cast. All right, it is Monday, which means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Rio. $26.8 million made it number 1 again, 3 weeks in a row.
Ka, and might I add, ching!
Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family came in second with $25.8 million in its debut. And then
how was that, Kevin?
I didn't see it.
What?
I'm surprised. Madea, she's sassy.
She says is things sassy. Wrong. I didn't think about the sassy
she's
part.
She's much like you. She's sassy and she says things wrong. Water for Elephants was third in its debut weekend, made $17.5 million. Hop and Scream 4 rounded out the top 5. Then African Cats, Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hannah, and Source Code rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan in the news.
Bitch.
Says this week she feels like she's being punished because she's a star.
What?
On Friday, she got sentenced to 120 days in jail and 480 hours of community service for her violation of her probation, the judge said.
Right.
Well, Lindsay feels she's being singled out because she's famous.
But wouldn't she still be in jail from all those other things she did if she weren't a star?
Yes, that's what she's forgetting to recognize, the fact that she'd be doing a lot more time for all the other things she did. She got so many chances.
She did, yeah.
Before now. Because she was a famous and was getting preferential treatment. It now she's being like treated like any other probation violator.
Yeah, 10 offenses in. She finally starts getting treated like the common and criminal that she is. But you're right, she has a very short memory.
She feels she's being made an example of. It's not right. Especially when she is working so hard to live a healthy life, says an insider, which I'm guessing is her mom. Of course, legal analyst like Dan Abrams from ABC News says, you know, it's hard for her to believe it, but Lindsay is basically being treated like any other DUI probation violating accused small time thief would be treated by the LA judicial system. So, not the case, Linz. And Britain's Got Talent, huge show over there in England.
Right.
Talent show. I heard you guys talking to Carson Daly earlier today about talent shows. This is the one that gave us Susan Boyle, famously.
Right.
And they're always looking for their breakthrough star of the year. Right. David Hasselhoff's a judge over there, by the way, now.
Oh, great.
And they may have found him. His name is Edward Reed. And over the weekend, he shocked the audiences with his moving song that he performed for the audience.
Okay.
He was very creative. He did dramatic musical interpretations of children's nursery rhymes. Did a medley of nursery rhymes. Came out with... Old McDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Segwayed into Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and this was the crescendo of his performance.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men.
very clever.
Clever and really good.
Did a medley of children's nursery rhymes and is a great singer, and the place went crazy.
So suck at The Voice.
He's already being touted as the next big thing to come out of Britain's Got Talent. But smart move on his part. Initially, we start seeing Old MacDonald on the side of the farm. Everybody's looking at you like, what the hell's going on? And then by the end of the song, he had the audience eaten out of the palm of his hand. So
he sounds like Jack Black doing some D, doesn't he?
It reminded me of Axis of Awesome, something like those guys would do.
Oh, yeah, know? Yeah.
I think we have a winner to my trivia question. Jason on line six. Jason?
Hi, Donald Blake.
Dr. Donald Blake is correct. The human host for Thor here on Earth. But I didn't have to tell everyone that. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Congratulations, Jason. You are going to the red carpet world premiere of Thor.
Sweet. I get the ditch class.
Good. Sweet.
That's what we encourage here on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
Don't
wear yellow. It'll take all his
powers
away.
That's the Green Lantern.
What?
It's a different movie.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Also, by congratulations to Kathleen and Michael. They're also going. They knew the right answer. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hank Azaria from The Simpsons is 47 years old. Gina Torres is 42. Renee Zellweger is also 42. Jason Lee from My Name is Earl fame is 41. And Al Pacino, ooh-ah, oh, 71 years old. Come on now with the getting older. Ooh, oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Those guys should do a video or something, like a long video. That'd be cool.
Yeah, why won't they? That's weird.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Looking ahead toward tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. Funny man Dimitri Martin is going to be on the program. Jeff Beecher, who hosts that Beecher's Madhouse that is sold out for months in advance. It's got lots of hot chicks and comedians and people, celebrity impersonators.
It's a freak show, yeah.
It is a freak show, and I think there's fire involved, too. And TV's Batman the Great, Adam West, makes an appearance on tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Producer Dave.
And
for Producer Alex, who's on vacation. How are you, man?
Yes, this is Producer Dave.
Like to point out, for those playing the home game, Producer Dave is 3 for 3 this week on booking guests for us. All three of our guests on today's show have already appeared and been ready and on time.
In his defense, I'm sorry, not in his defense, Alex booked those people.
Well, that's true. They were booked by Alex. But they did end up being on the air. But Dave, why are you here today, and why should people go to kevinandbean.com right now to see the post that you just put up?
Because I told a little story last week when we were recapping Coachella about someone being snuck into VIP in a backpack, and some certain DJ named Kevin did not believe me. Even though I had an eyewitness who told me the story and was there, and you still did not believe
now,
me. Apologize.
Already? We
yes.
haven't even had the discussion. I'd like to suggest that you brought it up as got into Coachella at first.
Maybe.
You did.
I did.
So got into Coachella is a very different thing.
Same thing, though. He got to the
it's
same spot.
It's not the same thing. The same, because now this guy apparently got into VIP or backstage or whatever because the person had the wristband that got him backstage. So basically what the story was, Dave's like, oh, they took a backpack and they put a person in it and then they walked right into Coachella. And I was like, first of all, I don't know why Dave's Asian, but second of all, there's no way. They patted me down. They made me take out my phone. They made me take out my car key. I was like, this is ridiculous.
But even going into VIP, it was tough because we couldn't even take drinks back there.
You know, this guy walked in with a human being on his back in a backpack. All right, let's bring on the eyewitness, our friend Aisa, who was also there and can also very briefly be seen in the video that Dave has posted of somebody smuggling backstage another human. You can go to kevinandbean.com and see that. Hi, Aisa. How are you?
Good morning, you guys.
Hi.
First of all, it's always great, to talk to you. Oh, listen to that. She's coming right out with the weapons, too.
Give me something to apologize for.
Okay, first of all, I was the eyewitness. I was the one that walked in, stopped, saw the commotion, saw all the people. You can see it in the video clearly. You can actually, if you look closely, see me, Christine Fung, and Paul and our promotions in the background
of
the video.
Right.
That person got into a backpack, and actually they were already in the VIP area, walked in, and they went into the artist compound, which was even more difficult. They had to go through two security guards to get in there. I saw it myself with my own two eyes, and I told Dave Sanchez.
So here's what they did. They put, and if you haven't seen the video yet, they take a backpack that's not really a backpack. It's more like a
giant
Dude, yeah. It's a giant green jam.
I mean, a duffel bag.
It goes from your from the top of your neck into like your knee. It's
it's
big.
It's a big backpack.
And the person is not a little person.
No,
it's
she's
human.
Not.
It's a full
it's a,
size.
It's a regular full
it's a human.
Person.
How dare you?
Not a midget, a human.
With a hat the size of Kevin's head.
It's a little person. I
it's a little person, right. Okay, so but, it no, wasn't really a little human. Person. So they put this person in a backpack, and they are within eyesight. Within eyesight. They were 10 feet from the security guard. The security guard who let them through. They were 10 feet from the security guard. Now, forgive me for not believing it right away, but what are the chances that they're going to go, hey, let's smuggle a human being past this guard right here who can hear my conversation and see what we're doing?
Not during the show, Kevin. You can't hear conversations.
Are you high?
But I think Kevin's point is well taken, Aiza. Now, you saw it happen. Wasn't there some conversation, hey, if we're going to attempt this to get this guy backstage, let's not do it right where the security guard, who's our gatekeeper, is going to be able to see it?
Well, here's the thing, is that there's so many people trying to get back into that area anyway, there's no way a security guard is going to look out into the crowd. Where
yeah, because it's really tough for him to see all the way out 8, 9, 10 feet. Right in front of the gate where he's standing.
Dude, we saw the guy's reaction. He was bummed that that guy got back there, or that the girl got back
there. The security guard was bummed?
Yeah. Plus, wait, hold on. There was two security guards. Even if that guy had seen them put the person in
the There's no if, by the way. They practically tapped him on the shoulder and said, can you help us put a guy in a backpack?
No way.
It was ridiculous. There's a part of this story missing, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's not as it appears on the face of it.
It absolutely didn't.
It just
Aisa, let me ask you this.
Somebody
and again,
get me a backpack, and I'm smuggling you in.
All right.
But Aisa, you're the eyewitness here. Hasn't Kevin been completely intolerable since this event happened? Hasn't he been leaving notes all over the office and telling everybody that you're a liar, liar, pants on fire?
He's been calling me a liar since February.
Well, you've been lying since February, in my defense.
No, he's been leaving notes and calling me crazy and calling me a liar.
Okay, well, you are crazy, though. I think we could all agree on that.
You're with me on that, right?
Aisa's definitely crazy, but here's the only thing we need to accomplish right here, and that is Kevin mocked the idea that a human being was smuggled anywhere on the Coachella grounds in a backpack, even though there were eyewitnesses that saw it. Once the video came out and you saw it with your own eyes, Kevin, at least apologize to Dave and Aisa that you were wrong that it didn't happen.
Here's the thing about it. Is that there's a part of the story missing. The security guard was in on it. It was an artist that the guy trusted. This is ridiculous.
Dude, they wouldn't even let us take alcohol back there. Why would he be cool?
Yeah, so the guy could get through with a full size human being in a backpack that he put in right in front of the guard. You've got to use a little common sense.
That happened.
I hate you, Kevin.
You have to agree with me that common sense would say no way.
No, common sense.
Hold on a second. Common sense would say no way. You may have seen it. It may have happened, blah, blah, blah. But common sense says at Coachella where you had to wear the wristband all weekend and they had the little thing on it that they could scan you in and out, for that to happen in front of those guards, BS.
But common sense is thrown out the window.
At Coachella. Not only that, who's going to think, I'm going to smuggle a human in a backpack into a backstage?
Right.
There's no common sense right there.
That's right. But at least they're going to put the human being in the backpack right next to the security guard.
Dude,
come on. They didn't even do it around the corner.
All I know is it happened and I saw the video. And
I saw the video too, but that doesn't mean the whole story is there. All right, I want the listeners to watch the video.
Yes, I want the listeners to weigh in.
Go to kevinandbean.com, watch the video. Aisa says it absolutely happened. And by the way, for the record, Aisa would know much more than me. That I'll give you up front. Because she is
That's
the person who runs the promotions and everything else, and yet she's a known liar. So,
and she was there and saw with her own eyes, though.
Right, but she's a known liar. So then what do you do with it? She's more reliable than me, but I don't lie, and she does. So what are you going to do? Go to KevinandBean.com, watch the video, tell me if there's a little something wrong with it, or did they really put a human being right in front of the security guard into a backpack and walk right past him?
They did. You're
which is what it is, what it looks, it appears to be happening. I'm calling BS.
Thank you for coming on, my dear.
I love you.
I think she.
We love you too.
You want to hold on to see what the people think or no? Call back. You don't care, do you? All right.
I do care. You're going to apologize.
Apologize.
Bye.
No. Talking about the guy who got smuggled backstage at Coachella in a backpack. Now, Coachella, they had a big problem last year with people hopping the fence, and they really did everything they could to up security so that you couldn't just hop a fence to get into the show.
They had a wristband, and they could scan you in and out, and when you left, they had to scan you out so that when you came back, you couldn't be someone else or whatever. I mean, it was really pretty tight, yeah.
But people will always find creative ways to get into stuff. Kevin, you got a long history of this, of showing up at events that you're not supposed to be at, right?
I've gotten into everything that exists.
At one point, using my contacts.
What?
At what point did you find yourself about 10 feet away from Michael Jackson on the field at the Super Bowl the year that he performed at the halftime show? You weren't supposed to be there.
He was performing at halftime, and I thought to myself, how funny it would be just to my friend, just to the friends of mine, because all these kids were singing along, and I was on the football field walking toward him. I wanted to get in the shot just so that my friends would go, what a dumbass, what's he doing? And I almost got there, and then somebody said, let me see your pass, and I didn't have one, and they kicked me off.
Well, passes are for pussies. That's what we're going to learn here at 1-800-520-1067. Go to KevinAndBean.com, see the video of the guy in the backpack. Tell us what you think about that. But let's talk to Scott, who had a creative way to get into Lollapalooza on line 3. Hey, Scott, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bean. Good morning, Miss Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, this is Lollapalooza when it was here or in Chicago?
No, actually, it was back when it was in Missouri.
Missouri.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years ago, but what I had done is I made a shirt that said security on the back of it.
Right.
And it was a hot day, so I cut the sleeves off.
Right.
And it was a black shirt. The security was all wearing blue. I had no idea.
Oh, I thought you would at least copy the security shirt that they had.
I had no idea before I got there because I had the shirt made before the concert actually existed.
All right, so wrong color. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, it got dark, so it's hard to tell, and Stained was there. And I'm like, yeah, I really want to see him. So I get this bright idea. I'm like, okay, I'm wearing this shirt, so I'm going to use it. So I threw my hand up in the air.
Like you just didn't care.
Don't interrupt him. It takes him long enough to tell a story.
Sorry.
Okay, all right. Well, I walked through the crowd, and I said, hey, security, let me through. Get up on stage, and I get to see Aaron Lewis, like 5 feet in front of me.
Sweet.
So a homemade security shirt got you on stage at Lollapalooza, and nobody stopped you because they thought you really were security.
Yes, they did.
All right.
Could have told that in 5 seconds. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Steve, line one. Well, it's not that hard. Steve, line one, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. What'd you do?
I snuck into Ice-T concert to the VIP area in the air conditioning unit of a bobtail truck.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's awesome. Wow.
The air conditioning unit, I don't even know what that is on a truck. There's a crawl space or some place that you can crawl into, a human being can fit inside the truck where you can't be seen?
Well, it was on the top of the cab, but it was gutted out. It was my friend's truck, and I knew it was gutted out, so he told me.
All right.
So I said, I'm going in, I'm sneaking in, because he was delivering stuff, so...
That's
I hid
fantastic.
In there, and it worked.
Sweet.
I heard it when there, and I said, oh, man, these guys are going to catch me. And then, luckily, they didn't check. So I don't know if he was telling the guard to do that because he knew him, or I never found out.
Oh, that's funny. It would have been funny if your friend asked him to check up above where you were.
That's what it seemed like.
That would have been great.
Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Creative ways that you got into things. There's some great ideas here. Here's Jay on line 4. He managed to get into a Linkin Park show without a ticket. Jay, how'd you do it? Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So it was a while back when Linkin Park was first breaking, and I was an intern at a radio station in the Valley of the Dirt People.
Okay.
Out there in the 909.
Sure.
And there was this concert at the Orange Show, and I had just gotten a paying job at a radio station in Palm Springs, and they had said, hey, you can't be an intern anymore. So I still knew the code to the door, so I went and got the guy's, my promotion director's laminate, and I just walked in and said
sweet.
I was him.
But you had his laminates?
Oh, dude, I totally got a hold of his laminate.
Oh.
It was awesome.
All right.
Great.
That is.
I mean, I got my girlfriend backstage because I paid the guy at the door $50 at the security.
Well, anyone can steal a pass and bribe. That doesn't count at all for creativity, by the way, just
that's
so
what
you
I'm
know.
Saying. By the way, that's an important thing, though, is that I've gotten into a lot of events because my boss's name is Kevin. So I'll just say I'm him. Mm-hmm. And then they don't know what he looks like, and so they let me in, and then when he shows up later, they won't let him in. It's awesome.
This is the best. Hey, let's talk to Tim real quick on line two. He right. has watched the video that you doubt so much at KevinDeBean.com. For folks who are just joining us, it's somebody about 10 feet away from a security guard who's supposed to be keeping people out of the backstage VIP area at Coachella. And these people put someone in a backpack and walk on through. Now, Tim, you saw the video on our website. What do you think?
Yeah, I just watched it. Good morning, guys,
Hi.
By the way. And there's no way. There's no way that was, like, set up. I mean, it's one thing to, like, sneak into the show, like, you know, general, like, just to get into, like, the crowd.
Right.
But there's no, like, you got to pay attention to the security guard. Because there's, what, like, a chick, like, 3 feet away from him, laughing as the guy walks in. And he's, like, looking at everybody, like, and looking back at the guy with a giant chance.
Oh, shoot, all right, we are losing. We're losing you, Tim. Your phone is breaking up, so we're going to have to hang up. But that's what your complaint was all
yes.
along, right, Kevin?
As it totally thought. Looks set up. There's no way that happens just randomly. Listen, I've like I said, I have gotten into every place from the Emmys to the Grammys to the Golden Globes, concerts everywhere.
Don't you think if it was set up, there would be better video? There would be
no,
a video on the security guard, and instead of this crappy. Hey, look, I'm going to do it right on top of the person and do it from far away. Film it from far away. If it was set up, there would be awesome video of it. But no.
No, it's ridiculous.
Apologize. Apologize, Kevin.
No, I don't have to apologize. Let's try Paul real quick. I think we have time. Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's going on?
You're out of Coachella.
Yeah, I was out of Coachella this year, and my buddies own a party store, so they gave me like about 25, 30 different colored wristbands.
Right.
Put them on my wrist and just... walked on back to backstage. The guys just didn't have enough time to sort through all the different colored wristbands.
Did you have a 6'9" human being in a backpack on your back?
No 6'9".
Do you think they would have stopped backpack. You if you did?
I don't know, man. Those guys were pretty stupid, I thought, this year. They would just let you do about anything.
It's just not true.
Apologize, Kevin.
It just isn't true. They wouldn't. I may have been... a little overzealous in the name calling.
Apologize.
That's all you're getting.
No.
Sorry.
Tired of waiting in line for hours with annoying people you don't like? K-Rock Band is here to save the day as we take over Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Take over.
So, did I curse producer Dave by yes. praising him for 3 for 3 on guests on today's show since he's filling in for Alex this week?
Well, no, you tell me. He was 3 for 3, right. and then you praised him.
Right.
Now I can't get Harvey on the phone. You tell me.
How can you not get Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone? We talk to him every single week.
It's not my fault.
He's not in a bunker in Pakistan. He works at TMZ. They're a huge company with a website. How tough can it be to track the dude down?
Not my fault.
It's not Dave's fault. Okay.
He doesn't have a phone number.
Really?
Yep. Okay. Well, so that happened. All right. So how about the Afro line instead of Harvey? Not nearly as exciting, but you do call us 24/7 and leave messages at the Kevin Bean voicemail. It's 323-520-AFRO. What did people call and talk about over the weekend?
Hockey.
Hockey. Go Kings.
Yeah. Is that Dave? Was that Dave calling?
I don't think so. That was me calling, I think. Oh, we got Harvey now. What do we do now?
We should talk to Harvey. We want Harvey.
But I
we
want
to talk to Harvey.
Right. Okay. Kings play tonight, by the way, game 6. They set a record in San Jose for 51 stops. And I'm suggesting perhaps you could win a game easier without letting 51 shots get to your goalie.
Maybe get some more help. Maybe get somebody right. other than Quick to play right. is what you're saying.
Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Good to have you.
We apologize for the mix-up getting you on the show here, but Dave could not find your phone number, believe it or not. He's filling for Alex this week.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
We're very stealth here at the Zed.
You sure are.
I know. We appreciate that. Hey, listen, Harvey, I thought of you because Friday when the news came down that Lindsay Lohan, good news, bad news. Good news is not a felony. Bad news is we're sending you to jail, bitch. I thought that was exactly the thing you didn't expect to have happen. And you're a lawyer and have a pretty good track record of knowing what a judge is going to do. What happened?
Well, two things happened. We were right on the case being knocked down to a misdemeanor, which
right.
we said would happen.
Okay.
We were wrong on the fact that we knew the judge was going to violate her probation, but we said the judge would defer the actual sentence until after the verdict in the criminal case, and that didn't happen. The judge shocked everybody, including her lawyer. There were indications that that's exactly what the judge was going to do. I think, that the judge, he's a former NYPD narcotics detective.
Right.
And I think that that surveillance tape backfired. I think she looked at that surveillance tape because the last thing she did before sentencing her was the lawyers wanted her to see the surveillance video, which the judge had never seen. The judge looked at it and said, okay, you're going to jail for
100 days. What? That's so funny. That's the opposite of what they expected.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a real shock, and I don't think that was the plan, but I have a feeling that surveillance tape just made the judge say, oh, come on, I mean, she's dealing this thing. So anyway, so here's what I think is going to happen now. This is now a misdemeanor. It's petty. She's getting 120 days in jail because of the probation violation, and that's going to stick. So my guess is this case is going to plea bargain, and what Lindsay will probably plead no contest to the theft charge, and then the 120 days will end up being her sentence as well for that. So she'll end up serving the 120, and I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think this case is going to
trial. Will she serve all 120?
No. My guess, I've got to do the computation, but it's probably going to end up somewhere between 15 and 19 days.
Now, that sounds, I mean, unless she really is innocent and she's, furious because of that, that sounds like 15 days and then you're out of it is pretty good news for Lindsay. But I understand that she was just apoplectic about this, just swearing up a blue sheet.
Furious, because she was told that what we said was going to happen, that's what she was told was going to happen.
Right.
So she was, I mean, you saw the way she was dressed. She was not dressed to go to jail.
No.
And you've told us repeatedly that her lawyer is a good lawyer.
She's a great lawyer.
Yeah.
Sean Hawley's a great lawyer. And I think they were all blindsided by that.
Wow.
And I think that's exactly what they expected would happen. And it just blindsided her. So, you know, look, here's the problem. The problem is that if she pleads no contest, this whole cycle starts again, because what could happen is the judge could then place her on probation again. The last thing Lindsay Lohan wants is to be on probation, because that means you've got that hammer over her head,
right,
and that if she screws up, she's going back to jail again. And I think she's got to get off probation, because that's the bigger thing than jail right now. She's got to get off probation.
And how Absolutely. Long is her probation if it's just from the last time?
I mean, they could do 3 years.
No, I'm saying her existing probation.
No. I mean, once this happens, I think that part's going to be over. The problem is she's got a new criminal case. So if she pleads no contest in the criminal case,
I
see what I mean? The judge can give her a new probation.
I see.
And
what a mess.
And the starts again. Now, that said, did you guys look at the website this morning on this picture of this woman who looked exactly like Lindsay Lohan drinking champagne at a restaurant in North Hollywood?
No, I did not see that.
You got to look at this thing. It's on the website right now. I got a call from Nina on our staff yesterday. Nina said, oh, my God, there's this picture of Lindsay. She's at this restaurant. I've got somebody who's there. I know somebody who's there, and she's drinking champagne. And I thought, this sounds really weird. It's some girl dressed up exactly like Lindsay Lohan gets comped by the restaurant, which is kind of interesting. It's interesting that the restaurant may have thought it's Lindsay, and they still give her champagne. And then
knowing it's Lindsay and knowing she's been to rehab and she's not drinking, right?
That's right. And then people take pictures and then they try to sell the pictures. So, you know, poor Lindsay. You know, it's like, she wasn't even near there. But you gotta
look at the
picture.
By the way, the picture
is
looking
pretty,
at it right now.
That
it
is
looks
her.
Exactly like Lindsay Lohan.
Exactly like Lindsay
Lohan.
Wow.
But I will tell you, if you want people to look at that picture, don't ask us to scroll past Rachel Bilson in a bikini to get there, because I'm sorry, my browser got hung up there and I couldn't go any longer.
we aim to please you at TMZ.
You're doing a great job. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of choice. And, of course, check your local listings for TMZ television. Harvey, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Devine Show. Coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Devine Show, we'll talk to a woman who has 5 NBA championship rings and 1 Super Bowl ring. How did she earn them, and what's she doing now?
They're all in her colon.
You know what I mean?
We'll find out. And meet her coming up here on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I've seen the x-rays.
They're not in her colon.
They are in her colon.
That is a different story
altogether.
What they
call calls. What if you put up your butt when you're trying to sneak into a concert? Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of a little movie I like to call Thor!
Yay!
Based on the legendary Marvel comic book character Thor.
That's a giraffe's name.
No, it isn't. It's the name of a Norse god, the god of thunder. Chris Hemsworth is Thor. Natalie Portman his lovely love interest.
She's in every movie now, isn't she?
She has packed in a bunch before she started having kids. She's like, I'm going to have kids soon. I'm just going to start doing every movie I can.
That's good with me.
Good trend, yeah.
Anthony Hopkins stars as Odin. Father of the gods. His name is Asgard.
Odin is his name?
O-D-I-N.
No.
Jeremy Renner, Rene Russo. Great cast. This movie looks awesome. I can't wait to see it. If you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere in Hollywood on Monday, May the 2nd, why don't you call me right now? 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through get a pair of passes. It's just that simple. Because I am pressed for time and don't have time to give you a dirty question. So, otherwise, I'd make it harder. Next time, I will. Our condolences go out to the member of the Welsh soccer team who is still in the hospital. Apparently, he was celebrating with his fellow teammates the end of the season party when he suffered severe injuries due to a pool cue being stuffed where...
Oh, no.
The sun doesn't shine.
Where you don't want a pool cue?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, apparently there was alcohol involved.
Oh.
No. Mm. No.
How about that?
A Scotsman drinking?
He was a Welshman.
Oh, sorry.
And he was playing with his buddies and playing some pool, and he was a little cocktailed up, and he decided to moon his friends.
Oh, those are not good buddies.
Here, how about this?
Look at this!
I'll let you... Here's what the teammate said to the London Daily Mirror. It was a bit of horseplay that went seriously wrong. We'd all had a few drinks, and one of the lads did a moony. You think he dropped his pants to moon his friends?
Sure.
A player picked up a pool cue, and my favorite part of the quote... It all went wrong from there.
There's only one way it can go wrong from there, really.
Yeah. Severe internal injuries were treated at the hospital.
No. That isn't good for you.
He's still in the hospital 5 days later. So our best wishes go out to Laddie the Welshman.
That dude, whoever he is.
It's not rape if neither party really wants it.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the hot movies at the box office. Here's what people went to see this weekend. Rio, $26.8 million was number one. Then Madea's Big Happy Family, Tyler Perry's new film, $25.8 million, made it number two. Water for Elephants was third. Hop and Scream 4 was the top five. Then African Cats, Soul Surfer, Insidious, Hannah, and Source Code. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Paul Reiser... Can't be feeling too good today. NBC has announced they have canceled his new sitcom after just two episodes.
Not my fault.
That's quick.
NBC pulled the plug on the Paul Reiser Show, which is about a former TV star who hadn't worked in the business for several years.
Is that really what it was about?
That's what it was about.
Wow.
Yet after the low ratings, they decided maybe it wasn't for them.
Look, did any of us in this room have even the slightest inclination to even check it out, even to give it a chance?
Nope.
No.
No.
I know I did.
I saw the commercials for it, and I thought, no.
I like Paul Reiser.
I do, too. But no.
No.
I haven't missed him. I really wasn't eager to see what he was going to do next.
His last show was on 20 years ago?
Maybe.
30?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not 30.
40 years ago?
Yeah, it was 40 years ago, Kevin.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was on in the late 60s. 60 I remember
years
they
ago.
Broke into his show to show the live footage of the moon landing.
That's right. I remember that, too.
Ass. Hey, that show distracted America when we were at Vietnam, okay?
That's right. Gave us a reason to laugh when we were all crying.
In World War II.
You know who needs a TV show right now? Right this very minute.
Gary Busey.
NBC. Well, besides Gary Busey. Oh. NBC, here's it. You got a slot open now. You got a half an hour of time open that you're going to fill with Office reruns because you're killing the Paul Reiser Show.
Right.
Here's what you do today. Hire me. I will write it. I will produce it. I will direct it. As long as you put in the leading role.
Who?
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he's great. Michael
did you Keaton. See him on the 100th episode of 30 Rock?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Hi to the mother effing hilarious.
Why does he never work? Actor.
He is a great actor, but he's a brilliant comic actor. He's a great dramatic actor, too. But watching him in that role as the custodian who was trying to stop the gas leak at 30 Rock in that 100th episode, he had some of the biggest laughs in the show for me. And I said, like Alec Baldwin, used to be a movie star, went into television, now is a huge success. It's exactly what Michael Keaton should do. To give him his own damn show and let us just love him all over again. Guy doesn't work nearly enough. Are you listening, NBC? Yes, they are. They just chimed back.
That was their answer?
They're talking to the aliens at the end of Close Encounters.
Wait, none of us pushed that button?
No.
What?
That was them.
That was just through the air.
Oh, I'm out of time. I got a good story. All right. Well, next one. Next show.
Next today. Hour.
Today's celebrity birthday is Al Pacino, 71 years old today. Hank Azaria turns 47. Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife and from Alias. She played Anna Rodriguez in Alias. Remember the bad,
oh,
like
yeah.
the sexy, dangerous counter agent to Sidney Bristow on Alias?
Yeah. She was awesome.
She was way hot. 42 years old. Renee Zellweger. Also 42.
Jason... No Bell, by the way, to those who have been emailing.
Yeah, I get
today.
A lot of Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger.
How strange
yes.
is that?
Wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, 10 years ago, maybe, before she developed the full-time fart phase, but not anymore. Overruled.
Yeah, I never really got her.
No.
Good actress.
Yeah.
I liked her in Jerry Maguire.
Sure.
I liked her in this Bridget Jones movie. She was
cute.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
Kind of cute.
Cute yeah. and perky. But...
Is as good as it gets, though, for
yeah.
her. Kind of
yeah.
cute.
She wasn't in As Good As It Gets, Kevin. You're thinking of Cold Mountain.
Jason Lee from My Name is
Renee. Overruled.
41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Producer Alex is on vacation.
Oh, don't I know it.
Dave's filling in.
Yeah.
But we can't, if we fire him like we should, then we have no producer at all until Alex gets back next week.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
What happened to talking to Wing? What happened to our girlfriend Wing, who was supposed to be on with us 20 minutes ago? Where was
not
she?
Not my fault.
You should have heard the magic in the other room. Dave was calling Wing's phone and not getting an answer, so he left a message. Wing, this is Dave from the Kevin and Bean show in America. I swear to you, that's verbatim.
Look, Wing barely understands English as it is. How could she understand Dave and his accent?
That's why Dave was trying to speak very slowly and deliberately.
But does he no longer use the Producer Dave voice?
But he didn't on that particular phone call.
Oh, man, that's what helped.
I think he was desperately trying to leave a clear and concise message. I just loved it was from
America.
America.
But hasn't Alex gotten Wing on the phone for us like 20 times?
Yes, yes.
Then why? Well, that can't just be the time difference. Then it
not
has
my
to be
fault.
The Dave factor, right?
No, because it's not his fault.
Not my fault.
Okay. All I know is it's going to be a very long week with a lot of surprises.
No,
that's what I know.
No, it's not. He's going to be red because I'm red.
Not my right. fault.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is here. We can count on him every hour this time to take a look at what's going on in Hollywood.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the hot movies at the box office. Number one, once again, third week running now, Rio. $26.8 million made it number one. Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family was right behind it with $25.8 million in its debut. Made it number two. Water for Elephants was third. Then Hop and Scream 4 for your top five. African Cats, the new Disney documentary about lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Was sixth. Soul Surfer was seventh. Insidious, Hannah, and Source Code rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. You know, it's Royal Week. I don't know if you guys are aware of this
what?
Or not. But,
what's going on?
What are you talking about?
They're having a big royal wedding in England.
No.
Yeah.
Was this in the news?
It's happening.
I heard about that. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, the prince is marrying Kate Middleton.
I don't think that's happening.
It's happening.
That's ridiculous. Someone would have said something about it.
We got our hands on the royal wedding list, the invitee list. Who's going to the wedding in the world of celebrities? Elton John.
Sure.
Is definitely going to the royal wedding on Friday.
Is he
going
to sing a song about anyone dying? Is he going to bring that joy into the
day? And it seems to me you said your vows like two candles in some winds. I don't think so. David Furnish's husband will be there. Joss Stone.
Ooh.
Is also in the invite list.
All right. I would invite her to my wedding, too.
To stand up next to me at the altar. I'd invite her to my wedding. Posh Spice and David Beckham will be there.
Sure. Congratulations, you two. I'm really happy for the both of you.
That's Posh?
And no, that's David.
Oh, okay.
And I hope that you stay healthy, unlike me, who gets a hangnail and can no longer play footy.
Oh, I can't be at your soccer game, Galaxy. I've got a wedding to go to as a guest.
Madonna's ex-husband, film director Guy Ritchie, has been invited. Sir Paul McCartney, apparently not on the invite list. They must be Lennon fans. And Rowan Atkinson, legendary British comedian who plays Mr. Bean in film and on television, he has been invited.
Every wedding needs a mime.
Yeah,
it's not a mime.
Every wedding needs a mime.
Look, he did the Blackadder series, and he was very talkative in that.
I didn't see that.
You've never seen the Blackadder?
I only saw the Blackadder.
That's good stuff right there.
I read in all of the coverage, the inescapable coverage of the royal wedding over the weekend, Ralph, that Prince Charles has been the heir to the throne longer than anyone else in the history of Britain. He has been the heir to the throne. He's been next in line to wear the crown for more than 59 years now.
Well, yeah.
That's why the old lady won't bite it, because she doesn't want to hand it over to that douchebag.
Because they got all healthy in England. Used to be you're a king when you're like 12. Then you die when you're 15, and then your kid, who was 3, because you start having kids at 11, they became the king. And then eventually they were putting fetuses up there and everything. It was nuts.
But imagine what it must be like when you become the heir to the throne at age 3, and then every minute you're ready for mom to die so that you can take over and run the country, and then it never happens, and now you're an old man and you're still not king. That must be so bizarre for him. His only mission in life is to take over, and he's done none of it.
I hope she outlives him.
It could happen, man.
Speaking of Britain, Britain's Got Talent, big smash hit television show over there from the creative mind of Simon Cowell. Big, big hit.
Sure.
Hasselhoff, now one of the judges over there. He used to be one of the judges of America's Got Talent. Now he's judging theirs.
How is he judging anyone's talent?
Because he's the Hoff.
Oh.
He's got the gift.
I didn't look at it that way.
This is the show that gave us Susan Boyle in 2009 when she brought down the house. They really haven't seen anything like that since, but they may have found their new phenomenon. Aspiring singer Edward Reed appeared over the weekend and shocked the audience initially by starting to sing a medley of children's nursery rhymes. Started out with Old MacDonald Had a Farm. People were looking at each other like, what the hell?
What's happening here?
Segued into Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and then people started to get the joke. And then here's a little piece of tape. He brought the house down.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Ooh. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Place went crazy.
That's crazy.
Smart.
Did the
smart
judges dude. Hit the button and turn around? Or
no, that's the voice. That's a different show.
Oh, all right.
They love this guy. Hasselhoff, I'm not kidding, said, thank God for you. That was his critique. We're not really sure what that meant, but he's moving on.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff, and I don't drink or take drugs.
Thank you, David.
Let's say you're watching Green Day's Broadway musical American Idiot.
Okay.
Which closed last night. Billy Joe Armstrong was playing St. Jimmy once again in the sold-out Broadway musical. Apparently, he was great in that show. And ticket sales definitely increased when he was the star, because you get to see the dude perform his own music, right?
Right.
By all accounts, the musical was very entertaining. Imagine, though, after the show's over, you've enjoyed yourself, you hear these words. Ladies and gentlemen, Green Day... The entire band comes out on stage.
Wow.
And plays a 40-minute set, including tunes from their entire career.
Nice.
That's a good way to end a Broadway run right there.
Yeah.
So you get a twofer there. You get to see the show, see Billy Joe. You get to see the last night of the musical on Broadway, and then you get to see Green Day in concert.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Now, they're making a movie out of that stage show, right?
Yes.
Is there any chance that Billy Joe Armstrong will get to star in the movie, or are they going to replace him with some Hollywood hotshot?
There has been conversation. But I don't think anyone's made any sort of decision to.
And then are they going to start a band based on the movie? Is it just going to come full circle?
I'm pretty sure there's already a band called Green Day that plays that music. I know you don't, but it's okay. I'm just saying, 10 lyrical, spherical, diabolical denizens of the deep who stall hall around the corner of the quote from the Quaithe and Quivery all at the same time. That's
not
what I'm
my
saying.
Fault.
That's what I'm saying.
Not my
fault. I can't even believe that's something that's real.
Hello, Wing. This is Dave.
Let's give Dave the announcer test.
America.
Yes,
let's give Dave the announcer test. That would be entertaining beyond words. Today's celebrity birthday is Al Pacino, 71 years old today. Hank Azaria, many voices on The Simpsons, and also a very funny actor, is 47. Andy Bell of Erasure is 47 years old. Gina Torres, from I Think I Love My Wife and from Alias, another... Projects is 42, as is Renee Zellweger. Jason Lee from My Name is Earl is 41 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Jeff Beecher in studio. He's bringing Beecher's Madhouse to Southern California.
This place is crazy.
Well, they do have a lot of midgets and fire and explosions and...
comedians? Hot chicks?
Sure, it's all...
David Arquette?
All of the above.
Right.
So, I've seen that show in Vegas. It's pretty fascinating. So, he's bringing it to Southern California. We also have Dimitri Martin, comedian, on the program tomorrow.
Well, don't say it like that.
Dimitri Martin?
Comedian?
Comedian?
No, it was
comedian. It wasn't meant to be
that's
a question.
Point.
A comedian.
Okay, that's right. Better.
We might, and you guys have to guess.
Oh, hello?
Right.
Do I get this person
we
or don't?
We might have Perry Farrell talking about Lollapalooza.
Is it on the phone?
Yes.
Then we won't be having Perry Farrell.
Okay, Dave tells me now the update is that it looks good.
No, it's 85%
Perry Farrell tomorrow.
Not my fault.
85% tentative.
You did say that at one point. So that's coming up as well. Did I say Adam West already?
What?
Did I say that? Did I say
no,
Adam West?
You did not.
What would Adam say
you
about
buried the lead.
About coming on our show tomorrow?
Hello, citizens. Tomorrow, I'll be on Kevin and Bean.